Good morning, everybody. Yep, it's a brand new year and we are back. We're live. Pinch. Ah, okay, yeah, it works. Leanne Moles here, and we've got Ben coming in, we've got Mash coming in, and special guest for the first show. I knew we'd start off the year on the right note. Trevor Gumby. Dun dun dun. So he's gonna have a lot to say, I'm sure. Welcome back. Welcome back to a brand new year. Start of all kinds of cool and interesting things, I hope. And certainly for this week, it didn't feel like everybody was back at work.
No, definitely not.
You didn't really take any time off, did you?
No, well, I was quite fortunate in that I took 2 days of leave.
Okay.
That gave me a week on the Cape West Coast.
Bonus.
Mm. However, I did work on those 2 days.
Yeah. I chose this year to not go anywhere for the whole holiday. Like, not on a holiday. You know, I didn't go to any place outside of... I slept in my own bed every night, basically. And I really loved it. And I know I'm getting boring and hermity and all of that stuff, but it was so great to just spend. And look, I mean, everybody was talking through the holidays about a couple of things. There are a few questions that everybody had to answer and that everybody was asking. And it's almost a bit of a parody. The first one is, are you going away?
Yes.
And a lot of people's answer was yes. A lot of people's answer was no. It's not that interesting, but I found it very cool to just be at home. A lot of family time and all the rest of it. The second question was, York, can you believe the rain?
Oh, gosh, right? In Gauteng.
Yeah, because something like 22 out of 31 days in December were rainy.
Yeah.
It felt like we were living in a tropical zone the whole time.
Well, for the week that I was in Paternoster... which is such a beautiful town.
Where is that exactly? I've never been there.
It's 2 hours from the airport on the west coast.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, you pass Langebaan.
There's not a lot of people
keep
there.
Keep going.
Or is it quite busy?
No, it's a tiny, quiet village. It's a beach like you will not believe.
Really?
There are just a few people walking their dogs or whatever.
Wow.
Just so not out of like, this world.
Not like the beaches that everybody goes to.
Certainly not Durban Beach.
No. Oh, yeah, I know. So listen, that's a different universe.
This is a seaside town. All of the little houses are white.
Yeah.
It's this very wide, white, sanded beach.
Sounds bloody amazing.
Just absolutely.
Okay, so you got a little holiday.
Got a little
nice
holiday,
one,
which was awesome.
Very good.
First thing I noticed, though, flying into Cape Town was it looks like a desert. It's so dry.
Yeah, yeah.
So dry.
But this isn't their rainy season either.
No, of course not, but it's super dry. And I see that Cape Town's water and sanitation has now said dam storage is now 19% lower than the same time last year. And then coming back to Joburg after all the rain. Oh, sorry. So while being there, I have a lightning alarm on my phone.
Yeah.
And obviously near my house, and it was lightning at 10 o'clock in the morning on every
day.
Yeah,
it was crazy. The amount of rain. I don't measure these things. You know, there are some people who are very meticulous about keeping records.
Might have a rain gauge.
Yeah, and they're the same people. Let's be honest. Like my dad, he cannot get enough of the weather reports. You know, he needs to know the next day. I'm like, but okay, you're on holiday. And
how is it going to change
and
your day?
What are you going to do? Yeah, are you going to throw your whole day's plans out because it might be raining? Well, you need to know these things. Anyway, who knows? Maybe we'll all end up like that one day. But they were telling me that record numbers in terms of how many millimeters of rain. But those are the boring things that people who had a sedate, quiet holiday were talking about. Lots of other people obviously celebrating Christmas. Plenty of people doing big things for New Year. Maybe because I did all that DJing for all those years and I had to do the countdown and
it's done.
To me, New Year was just another working night, right? So I never set up New Year's Eve in my head as this huge big thing. But you know, for some people it has to be the biggest thing of the year. It has to be the most amazing party of all parties, right?
I'm 100% sure it's an age thing. It's
Might
like
be.
Getting excited for
Might,
Christmas.
There
you get
are,
over it.
But there are people who really don't give a shit, and then there are people who think it's the most important thing ever. So if you did something cool, let us know about it. I see the comment section's alive and well. There's obviously also loads of news to catch up on. There are so many things this year has started with such a bang. Obviously, we've got to talk a little bit about Venezuela.
That was on the 3rd.
Yes, sis. I mean, what a way to start the year. Yeah, I and what an operation. Let's just, for a moment.
That was very slick. Jeez.
You think about how they were stuck in Iraq and Afghanistan, well, Afghanistan specifically, for 20 years. Okay, since September the 11th, and they pulled out disastrously under Biden. But 20 years. This was so surgical. And, you know, Donald Trump, obviously, people who don't like him, they go, oh, well, you know, this is just typical, all this military aggressive stuff. And don't you know anything about international law? We'll get into all of that just now. The reality is, like, to be able to pull off something like this, there are dictators of shitty little countries all over the world who are suddenly shitting themselves in a very novel way since the 3rd of January, because they suddenly realized, like,
you can be sucked up like by a UFO. That's what it was like.
Yeah, I mean, they went in, apparently Maduro and his wife, they were, sorry.
That's you.
There's a bit of luck for the new year. Maduro and his wife were trying to run into a safe room or something, and the U.S. Special Forces team that were there to take them away got them just before they'd closed the door. So they surrendered. They put him in a tracksuit, blackout
cool
sunglasses, earphones. He basically looked like every other Gen Z kid who's traveling from Joburg to Cape Town.
It was a Nike, what did they call it?
Yeah.
It was all over the news.
Yeah. And I mean, very embarrassing for Venezuela. Well, not for Venezuela, but for the government of Venezuela and for dictators all over the world who think that they're still living in the 90s where, you know, everybody sits around a table and they talk and they're very civil to each other. Like, that era is gone. And I still see people online, on the few occasions that I did go online over the holidays, who are absolutely outraged by this. I mean, let me first of all tell you that if you're one of those people who believes in international law, I hate to break it to you, but there is no such thing. You know, in the international community, one of the reasons that things like the United Nations were set up was to try to mitigate countries from doing unilateral things that were dangerous for the whole world.
Mm.
You know, prevent another World War II.
And genocide and things like that. Yeah.
Before the United Nations, the League of Nations. But the UN is just a big bureaucracy that is increasingly trying to make its law the law of the world. And I see even our president was like firing off angry missives about how the US must be stopped. It's done, dude. I mean, what are you going to do? It's not like they've got a presence all over Venezuela and they've taken over the country. But in effect, they have. And what they've done is they've shown that if you think that Donald Trump is one of those presidents who just says things, like our president, just says things, you know, and can never back it up because they don't actually have any power to back it up, then your days are numbered. People in the world are looking for men of action. And it turns out that something like 70% of the U.S. population think this was terrific. Sure, there's a small group of people who are very upset about it and who like communist dictators for whatever reason. I mean, there are people who like Herman Mashaba's party in this country. There's no accounting for bad taste. But the reality is that this is the new paradigm in which the world – it's not a new paradigm. It's actually the old paradigm of the last 4,000 years of human history. Mm. And I seriously doubt whether the people who are mortified by what's happened on this U.S.-Venezuela axis, I seriously doubt that those people have actually ever picked up a history book. Because you would have to be living in a fantasy land to think that this is unusual.
Yeah.
This is what happens. And you know,
it's always been about taking out the leader of a country.
Yeah.
Going in, whether it's on horseback or whatever it is.
Yeah. With swords or guns or whatever.
Throwing cannons. It's how it happens.
Throwing cannons, eh? I'm going to throw you with a cannon.
I was going to say catapulting something, and then I said throwing, then I stopped, and then went with a new word, cannon.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, get over it. And also, then there are people who are saying, oh, it's all for the oil. Yes, that's a big part of it, but so what? I mean, have we forgotten that the idea of civilization The only reason we remember the great names of history is because most of them were also conquerors. Why do you conquer a place? Because you want the land, you want the oil, you want the gold, you want the whales, whatever it is that you're going after. That's part of the deal. Otherwise, why would you just take over a country to change their government? That was a stupid idea that Western powers concocted in the 1990s so that they could either come up with an excuse because they were a bit embarrassed to admit. Trump says it straight out. He's like, well, we're going to get a lot of oil. We're going to take a lot of oil and we're going to just take it. And I mean, that's how it works. That's how the world works.
This is what I saw. See, the U.S. government doesn't care about you until they notice you have oil. Iraq, Libya, Venezuela, Diddy.
Yeah, there was some very funny Diddy stuff going around him and Maduro in the same cell and him saying to Maduro, these guys took my oil too. Anyway, so that's going on. I see Bitcoin Butt is leading the comments chat this morning. First show of the year, may it be a lekker 2026. When will the 50K giveaway happen? Giving away, what do I look like? The National Lottery?
Was that a rumor?
Bitcoin Butt's taking a chance. He wants to buy more Bitcoin because the price is down. I see Nkateko is in here. We've got Max Sony. We've got Makin Kumalo. We've got Byron Funder Bank. There's lots of people. Some new people here too. Slippery Pickle says, I'm thinking of opening up a quality daycare learning center. Do you have any advice on how to structure my NGO? Well, that's another big story.
Learning center, okay. Somali.
Yes. So this is a big story that happened in America over December. Is there was this guy called Nick Shirley. He's like a YouTuber. And he went into
I'm now calling him a journalist, but I don't think he ever was a journalist. He's a YouTuber.
I mean, you journalists mustn't get so sensitive about the fact that you're journalists. It's not as if you have to know which wire goes into which plug.
No,
and
I mean,
if
he went
you get
around,
it wrong, you'll get shocked. I mean,
he didn't have all his facts straight.
But sure,
anyway.
But this is what journalism is now in 2026, and I think you get that. There are still some people who are holding on to the idea that it's a rarefied group of people who have a special degree that they got somewhere and that they follow an ethics code and that they are all pursuing the truth. I mean, all of that's been widely debunked, and so many of these journalists covered themselves in shame over the last 10 years anyway, by being biased, by not reporting honestly, by pursuing an agenda. So it's perfectly acceptable for people to go online and go, well, this Nick Shirley guy's uncovering something. So what he uncovered, for those people who are not in the know, I wouldn't blame you, by the way, because during the holidays, I didn't pay much attention to news. We were just talking about this Venezuela situation. I think that was a big story, and it would have been hard to miss. Because it was everywhere and people were talking about it, whether you were on your phone or not. But the other big story that came out of America was this idea that apparently that there are millions of Somalis, or at least hundreds of thousands of Somalis, who've moved into the state of Minnesota. Minnesota is governed by Tim Walz, who was Kamala Harris's VP candidate. You may remember him. He was that weird white guy who they trotted out to kind of make Kamala seem more normal. Meanwhile, Tim Walz makes Kamala look boring, but he seems insane. He and his entire government and many people in the state of Minnesota seem to have been involved in fraud to the tune of hundreds of millions, if not more, in dollars that have been siphoned away from taxpaying Americans. Apparently, what happens is these Somali immigrants who've now created communities for themselves, and you know they're trying to get jobs and things. Although 70%, I saw in Senate hearings this week or Congress hearings, 70% of Somalians are on welfare, full welfare, which means they don't have jobs. So all those people who always say, "Oh, well, we need foreigners to come and fill the jobs," whether it's here in South Africa or in America, it doesn't really make sense when you look at the statistics. And a lot of those people come in for free stuff. So they set up these child care centers, right?
Yeah, anything to do with education, learning, people who have problems learning.
It's so interesting that Somalians are doing that. Somalians, out of you know, what is it, 200 countries, 190 countries. Somalia is a total and utter disaster. It's on the list of, like, it's not a shithole country list, but it's
why people are leaving.
They publish these lists about countries that are very, very dangerous, countries that do not have stability, do not have government, do not have any process of law. Somalia is right at the bottom, always. Yes, it's why they're leaving, you're right. But it's also Somalians everywhere they go. It's not as if they are shooting the lights out and inventing things. And, you know, they go there and they make very little contribution. In the state of Minnesota, that's certainly true. Anyway, they set up these childcare centers. And then this guy was going around and filming and saying, why are there no children? And there are about, I don't know, 4,000 of these things in Minnesota. I mean, first of all, they are set up especially for Somali children. So there must be a shit ton of Somalian children who need to be in daycare. And why do they need to go to daycare if their parents don't work? That's another question you've got to ask. And it's got people very fired up there. So that's what Slippery Pickle was referring to. Patrick says, meanwhile, silver is $76. It was up to 80 at a point in late December a year ago, $29. That's a 161% increase. Gold also up 65% in a year, crazy. So if you've been watching the markets and you bought gold or silver, as hinted here by Patrick, you've done very, very well. Mm. And that's a good point, well put. Listen, I saw a great post by somebody the other day about, you know, buying assets and having investments and all the rest of it. And we're talking to a potential client who's going to come on and talk to us about this, you know, what you can do in terms of ETFs, shares, Bitcoin, gold, silver. Because we used to have Anthea, remember?
Yes.
She works hard for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent her a Christmas message over the holidays. And you know why I sent it to her? Because I was randomly listening to songs and She Works Hard for the Money came on. So I was like, shit, I need to talk to Andrea. Anthea.
Not I need to invest something. No. Maybe I can ask her for advice.
Yeah, but we were talking to these people. So somebody posted a thing about how the only real money actually is gold.
Mm.
Everything's gold-backed, or at least it's a credit note for gold, or you can exchange everything for gold. There are people who don't want Bitcoin. You can't exchange Bitcoin with them yet. I mean, they're kind of Luddites or whatever. They're people who, you know, probably pay for everything in cash. Who knows? Might even pay for things in coins.
Mm.
When last did you use a coin?
Yeah, no,
you know,
no.
It's amazing how quickly these things change. I made myself, says Slippery Pickle, my own media credentials. I did it with a non-toxic crayon. You see? That's what's going on. Givers create beggars and thieves, says Steve. Well, we've obviously got a lot to talk about here because the other big story, which was before we were meant to do our last show on the 19th, and of course, Warris got shot. He was murdered. He was assassinated, which threw us into a real frenzy here because he's a part of our family. And we had a memorial service, which I've got to congratulate the TRN team here for putting together at the last minute. You know, Marvin and everybody here, including James and Flex and the rest of them, who just did such an excellent job of giving a really powerful, terrific, beautiful send-off to a guy who was such an important part of what we do here. He was here from day one of the Real Network. He and PH have had an incredibly successful show. And we're going to talk about what we're going to do with that show for those people who are fans of it. But I was absolutely horrified at what had happened. You know, you go through the stages of anger.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know where I am at the moment. I was very angry when it happened. And then I was just really sad. And I've got to tell you, at that memorial, which was on the Friday that we would have done the show.
Yeah.
The hardest thing was seeing his three boys go up there. The eldest of them is 16. And they were so strong. And they were so smart. And they said such moving, beautiful things. And I just thought, wow. If you want anyone or anything to be a testament to a life, then may you have kids that are that strong in that situation. And they really were exceptional.
I mean, that was that was just mere days after it had happened.
Yeah, it was 4 days later.
The you know, everyone was in such a state of shock. I mean, you can never compare situations. However, when I remember the loss of my father, which wasn't a massive shock like that.
I mean, he wasn't 40.
It still took weeks to get to a point where I could think of what to say. So for those kids to do that so fast was and at that age, something else.
Yeah, I don't want to dwell on it too much because it also feels in some ways – I was talking about it with people in the office here on Wednesday because I've been in since Monday. And it feels odd because with the holidays – it's created a bit of a gap, you know.
Yeah.
So you kind of wonder if he'd been killed in the normal course of the year, whether it would have affected us more or less. You don't know. But I thought about him a lot during the holidays, maybe because I had time to think.
Mm.
And it's not going away, you know. His family are obviously going to continue to stand up for a lot of the things that he was standing up for, and I congratulate them on that. They've been unbelievable, just unbelievable. And obviously for anybody who, even if you only loved the show, if you knew Warris through his social media where he was brave and outspoken, and he's just a sterling human being. If we could have, I don't know, 500 Warrises, we could sort this country out tomorrow. Not even. You'd need 50. He was such a bundle of energy.
Mm.
And around the office, he was so much fun to be around. You know, he knew everybody's name. He made an effort with everyone. He was just a spectacular guy.
Yeah.
So rest in peace, my friend. Very, very sad to see you go. And I see Carl DeSantos is back. He says, "Hello, you bastards." Now, that's the appropriate greeting for him. Yeah, Friday morning. I like it. He says, "Nice being away, but I did miss the show. But Gareth, you appear to be upsetting many people at the moment. Perhaps 2026 is the year I visit the show." You're welcome anytime, dude. You know, we're going to be doing things a little differently this year. There are a couple of surprises that I've got planned on the way. Such surprises that not even James and Flex know about them yet.
They're probably thinking, geez.
Hey, if you want to come in, we'd love to. How have I upset people now? What did I do? I really don't.
Maybe
I genuinely don't know.
Last year there were one or two things, but I don't even remember what they were anymore.
I haven't been on X Twitter at all.
I saw an ad for X on a digital billboard.
No, I'm off.
And I thought,
Leanne, my last tweet was November.
Oh, mine was years ago.
Okay, yeah, isn't it great?
I haven't thought about Twitter in many years.
Let me say this because this show is the only place we're going to be able to have these conversations. If anybody wants to hear my opinion on anything, this is the only place you're going to get it from now on. I'm not doing this anywhere else. So I'm not going to be on X. I'm not going to be anywhere else. This is where we're going to have these conversations. So thank you, Carl. If you know what I've done, then please let me know. This is funny. Steve says, Slippery Pickle says, Somalia now has three countries. There's Somalia, Somaliland, and Minnesota. When will this colonial expansion end? The other thing that I wish people would just realize that a lot of what Donald Trump says, if you haven't realized this by now, you're never going to realize it. But a lot of what he says just is to piss off people who haven't got it yet. They haven't figured it out yet that he's just stirring up cuck. He said, again, we got to have Greenland. And now the EU is in uproar. There are people issuing statements. You know, the EU would never do anything except issue a strongly worded statement. They're like, if Donald Trump goes for Greenland, then we'll be forced to issue another, even more strongly worded statement. He's like, I don't give a shit what you say. And he really doesn't. He doesn't care.
No.
What a time to be alive. If this is how this year has started, it's going to be an incredible year. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm feeling very optimistic.
Well,
about
it started this with you going to war.
Oh, look, Ben.
There.
Hello, Ben. Me going where?
You're going to war.
No, you know what? I was getting dressed this morning. It's like, I don't want to, I always wear a black or a white or a gray shirt, right? And I don't think about it. And I saw this, I wore it once during COVID.
It's brilliant.
It's like a hoodie. I have seen you wear it before. One of these cheap ass hoodies.
But it reminds me of something that we would have worn in the South.
Mm.
Growing up.
Don't you dare think the South is sophisticated enough for chainmail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm,
come on.
No, it's something that it looks like something our moms used to make, where they went to the Oriental Plaza and bought bits of fabric and put together like a patchwork.
Mm. Right.
We'd call them a tracksuit top.
Yeah, tracksuit top. Mm. Well, it's a hoodie of some kind, but I bought one for my nephew for Christmas, and it was his favorite. I've won best Christmas present in a row. 2 years now.
Oh yeah,
with the nephews. So I buy good presents.
What were they?
No, I bought him one of these this year.
Oh, exactly the same.
No, not like this. It's slightly different, but it's the same kind of. You know, it's like some shit that looks like a historical costume. Anyway, the USA seized $10 billion in Bitcoin from Venezuela, says Bitcoin Boy. Well, that's what conquest is, and I don't know why or when. Or how people thought that there was a unanimous decision among all countries in the world that suddenly conquest was off the table. When did people come up with that idea? Because it certainly didn't reach many places. I mean, we've got the Russia-Ukraine thing going on. That's been happening for, what, 4 or 5 years now?
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
We had the situation in the Balkans not so long ago, in Rwanda not so long ago. In Somaliland, it continues, the Western Sahara. I mean, are you not paying attention when you think that conquest is not a thing? And trust me, there are lots of countries in the world that if they had the might of the United States military, would do exactly the same, if not worse. They would probably do a lot worse. So I think it is tremendous. And the fact that the U.S. have got special forces, and you know, Trump said they're the only country in the world who could have done it, but I think that's true. Go in, take out the head of state of a country overnight. Most people in Venezuela didn't know until they saw it on the news the next morning or social media the next morning. They didn't know what was happening that night. They probably thought, oh, Maduro's having a fight with his VP or whatever. And it is not an occupation. There's no force in there. They're not trying to bring democracy to Venezuela. They're like, nah, this guy's a bad guy. We're going to get rid of him. I know how we can do this. No U.S. lives lost. Not one. That's phenomenal.
There's one country that's definitely not scared after after this happened.
Who?
And that's Nigeria.
Oh, yeah?
James, you have got a clip there.
Have you got a clip for us, James?
Because, you know, a lot, like you said, a lot of leaders are thinking, whoa, that could happen to me.
Yeah.
Just get sucked up overnight.
And they should, because for ordinary people, and by the way, Venezuelans were over the moon.
Yeah, I saw a lot of videos of wives waking up their husbands with the
news.
The
only clips I saw of people who were angry about this were non-Venezuelans in places like New York or Seattle.
Yeah, but those are like renter protester. Those people
are
on a constant.
They're actually being rented. You're right.
They're on a conveyor belt of this must now fall or this matters.
And let's just remember.
They just swap flags every week.
For people who have no idea and have just jumped on this bandwagon and appointed themselves experts, Venezuela has been slipping backwards, backsliding for, well, it's now the last 15 or so years since Hugo Chavez took over, the communist dictator. He was Julius's big hero for a while. I remember Julius Malema in the EFF today, what did they call it, an educational trip to Venezuela to learn how to do things better? Well, Venezuela's economy has been sliding down the toilet for how long? As all these socialist economies always do. People were eating dogs because there was no food. They were lining up for everything. There was no electricity. There was no water. Does this sound familiar, by the way? It should. Wherever people try to do this, and New York has got some of this coming soon, I saw Zoran Mamdani, the new mayor of New York, said two things which have earned him widespread criticism, and deservedly so. One of those things being, we've got to give up frigid, rugged individualism for the warmth of collectivism, which would ring true in the ears of Stalin and so many other
losers.
Nasty people. Well, losers, but also nasty people. The warmth of collectivism is the is the feeling of the bullet passing through your head because you disagree with the regime. Remember, communism is only there to make everyone equally unhappy. It's not there to improve anybody's life. So if you still believe in that stuff, and I can't believe he said the quiet part out loud. He was like, we're going to replace what is essentially America. What is America if not rugged individualism, right?
That's what founded the Great Heights.
Yeah, correct. The people who founded that country, who turned it into a country, were nothing if not rugged individualists. And he somehow thinks that the warmth of collectivism is something which should appeal to Americans. And listen, it does to a lot of overeducated, mostly white liberal women in places like New York who have nothing to pour their – they want to nurture something. But they don't have children because they're hideous and no one wants to marry them. And they've got terrible political beliefs. And therefore,
no, they've probably made a choice not to have children.
No, have you seen these people? Did you see the people behind Zoran Mamdani when he was inaugurated or sworn in? Anyway, it's besides the point. They're pouring all this would-be nurturing into people who didn't ask for it, who they're infantilizing and patronizing and saying, well, I know better, so I can do better. I'll help you. I'll help you. This is also what's happened in Minnesota with the Somalians. So that was crazy. The other thing he said was that South Africa, and I went, huh? This got to be a joke, right? It's got to be like a comedy, a parody website. That's South Africa, according to Zoran Mamdani, is an example of really good governance.
No. What happened there?
Yeah.
What was he?
That's
just embarrassing. Was he microdosing?
Yeah. Clearly the guy was totally high.
It's embarrassing because then people get reminded about us. Like we were just trying to get through. We were trying to start the year under the radar.
Yeah, after Cyril went to the White House and got embarrassed.
We became a laughing stock. An enemy of America.
We were just trying to get through our hangovers.
Have a holiday.
And now this
right.
was the spotlight back on us.
Yeah. Anyway, Leanne told us she had a nice holiday. Did you do anything fun, Ben?
Yeah, mostly great, Gareth. I went to the Cape for a little bit, like 8 days. So we did our final show last year down in Cape Town, which is really great.
Yes.
And then went to Rubik West, went to go watch the cricket. It's very hot down there that time of year, huh?
Well, Leanne was
deliciously
saying
it's hot, actually.
It's also dry hot.
So dry. Yeah. Mm. All day, you wake up, you can't sleep at night. You got to have a fan on like turbine 7 to just keep it together.
Pick up what a jungle Joburg looks like when you're flying back in.
Yeah, it's great.
It's so green.
Oh, it's so nice.
It's so nice in December. It really is. Like, you visit the Cape. I don't know, April, March, around there.
Cape Town is not an option in December anymore.
Well, some people love it. I mean, you
love it when you're young and you want to replace your social life in Joburg with your social life in Joburg by the sea. When you're young, it's great. It's the best thing. I mean, I drove many years. I'm from there. I love it. But I just think now it's like there's other places in December to be.
Hey, Lindy Ntuli says, Batong. Leanne looks so good.
Good color.
Nice compliment for you to start the year.
Vibrant yellow.
Look at you.
Well, it's actually green, but because of the green screen, it's coming out as something weird.
Comes out like gold.
All right.
Pretty impressive.
Sorry, I haven't looked at the screen yet.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's shimmering gold.
Byron, Bitcoin Boots saying Ben starting 2026 with a great hairstyle.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much.
Yeah, this has been good, Ben. This was a good idea to do, huh?
Yeah, I agree.
Working out very well.
Totally.
If you don't have an aircon in your room at this point, you're only half living. Well, I put in an aircon in my bedroom last year.
We haven't needed that type of stuff that much this summer. It's been rainy.
Hey, you know how nice that is. I mean, I know it's expensive
like
and it charges electricity, but man, it's a nice thing.
Yeah.
If you're lying in bed and it's just
if you want to get proper sleep, like the last 3 weeks I haven't, obviously being in the Cape, but like the fan thing, I know white noise is cool and all.
Fans don't help.
But your room temperature has to be of a certain temperature to get proper sleep. Mm. It's as simple as that.
Gavin Newsom did his last speech in California. Can't wait till he's gone, says Christian. You know, we talked a lot about America, but what else have I missed? Is there news that I missed? The stuff that we, because you know, America so dominates the culture and the discussion that I feel we talk about that almost more than. And look, it is also more interesting because
well, I mean, like,
it's consequential.
Just to wrap it up. Nigeria.
Yes.
You can play that clip.
Yes.
Oh, that clip that
you,
we asked.
We don't have to be scared of Trump if you take the attitude of the Nigerians.
Okay, well, let's see.
Let me be aware that Nigeria is not Vietnam. Nigeria is not Afghanistan. Nigeria is not Iraq. Nigeria is not Iran. Nigeria is not Venezuela. If you attempt to encourage and make aggression and send your armed forces to Nigeria to wage war, is an unscrupulousness. But be aware that our mosquitoes, they are waiting for your soldiers to bite them and infect them with malaria fever to die instantly.
Those mosquitoes.
Them our mosquitoes.
How did they die of the mosquitoes for instant death?
Instantly from malaria.
Wow.
Because that's how malaria works. It's instant.
Now it's instant, yeah. Tell the mosquitoes.
Carl Frumpy, is that your surname, Carl? Says, is Gareth going to a modern medieval fair after the show with that shirt? Hey, all right. You know what? I'll go back to boring shirts from next week. Don't worry. I thought New Year, who cares, right?
No, it was last year too. You had a lace-up thing going on, remember?
Yeah, lace-up thing.
He's laces.
Basically, he's jousting his way through the show.
Oh, right. So. Okay, yeah. Maybe I'm hankering. You know, I did spend. Okay, so my holiday consisted of a lot of family time, lots of really nice meals, braais, all that kind of thing when it wasn't raining. Going to gym, which I've decided I absolutely, it's the best thing to do every day. It's like a meditative experience. It's not just what you're doing in terms of, you know, doing a bit of exercise and all the rest of it. But the other thing that I was doing is I read a lot over this holiday, which I love. And I watched a couple of documentaries. I watched a few series. I got into a lot of stuff, which I don't have time for the rest of the year. And I found myself being drawn to a lot of medieval history for whatever reason. So maybe that's also why this appealed to me this morning. I was like, oh, I'm going to see people. Let me put on my chainmail.
Exactly.
Must protect myself.
That's so ridiculous.
What a trouble bruise.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And then there are also people talking about, don't forget continuing protests in Iran. This is such a big story. You know, Iran was at the center of everybody's worldview, the things that everyone was talking about, what was in the news, back when America did what they did there, which, by the way, was also a tremendous success story. They cut Iran's nuclear capacity at the neck in a surgical strike, which completely disabled them and made them a non-power in a place where they were a huge power and influence for a very long time. And for a little bit, everyone is talking about it. But, you know, news stories go like this. The moment you blink your eyes,
it gets replaced by other things so quickly.
Our attention span is shitty, right? So what's going on in Iran at the moment is really worth paying attention to, because since 1979, when the Ayatollah first came in, it was Ayatollah Khomeini at that point.
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
He looks like Sean Connery, that guy.
He was put in partly by the U.S. You know, there were Reagan and Thatcher came later, but that was Jimmy Carter. And there was a lot of instability in the area. The Shah of Iran was removed. Ayatollah Khomeini came in. And that was the beginning of real, like, Islamist rule in Iran. It became a theocracy in the late 70s, early 80s. But since then, everybody's thought, well, it's tightly controlled. You've got the Iranian Republican Guard, the IRG, in charge. Iran was doing some naval exercises with us in the Cape somewhere. I don't know if anybody saw it, if anybody knows anything about it, but I can't imagine that Iran can afford to deploy any military equipment anywhere at the moment except at home. Because for the longest time, people have been avoiding talking. Maybe it's a mainstream media blind spot. They have a lot of those. The people of Iran have had enough. They've had enough of being run by these crackpot, tin pot mullahs who wear big turbans and have fuck all in their heads. And they are protesting in response to this in record numbers. There are street protests all over Tehran and in the other major centers, Shiraz apparently too. These guys are losing control. The country is slipping away from them. They are like, you know, like 12th century clerics that are trying to run a 21st century country. It's just not going to last.
Yeah, they're about 5 years away from a Club Med at this rate, which is really encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, Iran, I've always wanted to go to Iran, but yeah, I'm not going to go there if there are rules that make it impossible for you to. I'm not interested in modern Iran. I'm interested in...
Well, old Persia.
Yeah.
Like, what a place. What a big place time. That was to
it's
the
on
world.
My list. I would love to go and see places like Persepolis. And I've said this for years, but Iran is a sophisticated country that has very smart people in it who have been forced, whether they liked it or not, to have a shitty, stupid, backward government whose primary concern is spreading terror, funding terror, and hating Jews. I mean, it's such a waste of time if that's your agenda and you've got a country that could be doing amazing things. All they've been exporting for the last 25, 30, 40, 50 years is terror, pistachio nuts, and Persian carpets, where they could be a major technologically advanced country with real manufacturing, sophistication in their economy.
Well placed for various
medically as well. They've made a lot of strides.
Well, they should be making more, but it's a bit of a disgrace. So I stand with the people of Iran for whatever that's worth. I really hope.
And the ladies have been ditching the burqas.
Oh, my God. Well, they've been beaten for it, and they've been reprimanded for it. And, you know, again, the women of Persia don't want to be running around. Not all of them. There are some who, whether they have Stockholm syndrome or they're just hugely devout, there are some of them who do want to wear the hijabs and the yashmaks and the burqas or whatever the fuck you want to call them. But many of them don't. And this government doesn't give you an option. They've got essentially like canon law, church law, vice law in that country. If you're not wearing the right thing, I mean, can you imagine our government, our useless government, telling women you all have to wear black tomorrow? I mean, we'd all tell them fucked.
If we were all told to wear your jersey tomorrow,
yeah, exactly. what would we tell
it
Cyril?
Could take
we'd
a
say,
lot.
Yeah,
right. No one's taking him seriously, but the people of Iran have to under threat of violence. So I stand with them, and I hope you do too.
Sorry, on that Venezuela thing, I do want to ask a question.
Yeah.
Like, I still think this is too early for me to even think about what's really, really going on.
Sure.
I don't want to get caught up in news cycles. But this whole thing about conquest, I mean, that's what you called it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a conquest. So
nothing wrong with going for some oil.
That's
even
the
if
thing.
Even if that was the only reason. I'm one of those people who's totally okay with – the idea that if you are running a shitty country, an inferior, because the countries are not all the same. I hate to break it to you, but Burkina Faso, even when they talk at the UN and they get their 15 minutes, no one's listening when Burkina Faso talks.
No, it's like at the Sevens when the women play.
And
go get a beer,
right?
And stuff.
If China, Russia, or America talk, people have to listen. No one's listening to Keir Starmer. There's no British Empire anymore. Britain couldn't wait to tell the world, well, we didn't have anything to do with what happened in Venezuela. And everyone was like, oh, obviously.
We didn't think you did.
No one thinks Keir Starmer is someone you got to watch because he's really important and exercises enormous influence over the world. Keir Starmer has less influence than a YouTuber.
He's like a horrible Timu Bond villain.
Yeah. Like, so basically, Ben, I want to hear your thoughts on this, but the idea is that not all countries are the same, and conquest is what countries do. Like if we were a really well-run machine in this country, let's say we had a government that was effective, we had a military that wasn't all fat, lazy, and had no equipment that worked, and we decided that the Zambian copper was really something we needed, and we had the ability to take it, why wouldn't we? What makes – you know, all these – borders are artificial anyway. They were drawn up by people in the 1900s, if not the 1800s. If South Africa needed more gold, more wood, more diamonds, more copper, more whatever. Wouldn't it make sense? I mean, we're already illegally taking stuff out of the DRC because politically connected people have relationships there, which we were forced to protect. And in places like the Central African Republic, where we did actually have troops, we got our asses handed to us. It seems to me that people have forgotten that taking things by force is the nature of man and has been for thousands of years. And just because a bunch of very safe, very content, very privileged, very spoilt, liberal white people in Europe and America decided at some point between the 50s and the 90s that this was unacceptable, doesn't mean that other countries in the world don't follow those rules.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think it's wonderful how you preface that, because no one's saying that. Everyone's talking about, oh, yeah, it was about, you know, taking down a tyrant, blah, blah.
International law.
Like, we all know that America's got their own financial problems. They're on a fiscal, like, toilet in many places. And financially going after that oil, having that, it's a real nice stock up.
It's not going to make a difference, huh? I hate to break it to you, but the amount of oil that America has seized in these two tankers that they stopped famously this week on their way to Russia, they call them nationless or stateless vessels, which are essentially just, you know, Russia trying to get there. Remember, Venezuela was supplying a lot of oil to China and Russia.
Yeah,
this is strategically also why America went after it. Now, I'm not one of those people who says they did it for the oil. But if they did, this is not a lot of oil. America, this will last, I think this is, you know, 1 or 2 days oil. And I don't think people realize how expensive it is, because the infrastructure is so dilapidated in Venezuela and they have not been looking after it. Remember, the oil infrastructure, the infrastructure for extracting and refining the oil in Venezuela was built by the Americans. American companies went in. Those companies were seized by the communists when Hugo Chavez took over. So technically, unless you don't believe in property rights, they were American to start with. American companies sank billions in order to get the oil out, and then that was just taken away from them. So America has a good reason to have a gripe about that.
Yeah, but why are you saying
that aside?
Why are you saying it's a day or two of oil? They can just restart that.
Yeah, well,
but they restart
it's
that.
It's going to be expensive. There was a guy who spoke very sensibly about this and explained that it's going to cost a lot more.
Yeah,
to
sure.
Get it up and running. And oil production went to record lows in the last couple of years because Venezuela's mismanaged it. It's like South African mining is – it's
yeah,
not,
sounds very familiar.
South African mining is not the gold mine that it used to be. There is less gold in South Africa. That's part of it. But it's also been – it's been made so expensive to mine. And in Venezuela, it is now – very costly to pull out a barrel of oil. It has to be over $50 or $60 a barrel for it to be profitable and sustainable. And Venezuela is not able to do that sort of output anymore. So that is not really an argument. But if it were, I'm saying it's a cool argument. I think, great, if you can, go for it.
Okay, so I'd like two parts to that question. So we've addressed the oil thing, whether they're going to make that a growing concern, whatever it may be. Cool. But now, what happens to the whole thing about conquests if China basically go, cool, we're doing Taiwan this weekend?
Then they will. Okay. And I don't think it needed America, Venezuela, or Russia in Ukraine, or the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. But I think there's a change here. It's like a country that stands up for itself, or a country that is aggressive in terms of foreign policy. Other countries are mostly timid. They will back down when the big dog walks into the room. And big dog has to tell the little dog where it belongs. And that's kind of what America's doing now, just like China's doing it in their sphere of influence, and like Russia's been doing in Ukraine. I'm afraid, as much as this upsets people who believe in egalitarianism and fairness and democracy, might makes right. I don't like it, but that's how it is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, essentially, we live in peacetime. That's why this conversation is weird and awkward for a lot of people.
It is.
But as you also pointed out, there's ongoing conflicts that are actually terrible. I mean, look at Sudan the last few years. We're not in peace times. War is war, and people will fight. But I think, like, what this Venezuela thing shows is that the guys have gone in there. They've gone in. They've white knighted a little bit. Whatever the purpose is, it's happened. Hmm. And now it's like sides. So, as you say, Venezuela's oil really helps China, and Russia goes and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So now they've done that. So now if China goes off to Vietnam, what's America's
Taiwan.
Sorry, Taiwan. So what's America's response going to be for that? Because then suddenly, as you say, these world powers need to exert what they want to do.
Well, I hate to break it to everybody, but the other thing that is the default human position is war. Humans, for very short periods of time, there was something called the Pax Romana around the time of Jesus' birth. Right. Augustus Caesar famously said, we have peace throughout the empire. And the Roman Empire was not the whole world, but it was the known world to the Romans. And they managed to establish for a period there a fair amount of peace. There were a couple of Germanic tribes who were hopping across the Danube and the Rhine. But otherwise, they had more or less a state of peace. The only things that were happening were criminal activities inside the empire. But there was no war for a short period. And it was such a big deal that they gave it a name, because every period of human history since Ape 1 got down out of the tree and Ape 2 got out of the tree and they decided to fight over a woman or fruit or meat, that's what humans do. So again, everybody who thinks just because they're alive now, you know, just because you were born yesterday does not mean that that is how the world works. Mm. And unfortunately, the default setting for humans is war. So it's only a matter of time until it breaks out in some other new place. And all we've got to hope for is that we're not in that place.
Well, we are kind of insignificant in the bottom middle section.
Nobody really gives a shit about us, which is why I don't understand why our government thinks it's necessary for us to stand up for Maduro. And by the way, not for the Venezuelan people. Not for Venezuela, but for Maduro.
Mm.
The fact that Cyril wants to get to the UN to get them all. I don't know what the UN are going to do because they're toothless. And frankly, if I were Donald Trump, I'd tell the UN, it's been great, but I'm going to turn it into a hotel and chase them out of New York. The US pays for, I don't know, a third or more of what the UN needs to sustain itself. They should just stop. Why would you allow other people to come to your house and insult you? What kind of person does that? There is no requirement from the United States, just as if, you know, if Omar al-Bashir from Sudan back in the day had arrived here and told us what a shit country we were, we would have said to him, get out of here. No country has to put up with that shit. Neither does America. So I don't understand whether they are just laboring under some misconception that it is good to be polite to people who are not polite. But there's no requirement for you to do that. And I think that they should just tell the UN to find some other place to do business. Really, it's not necessary. The US doesn't have to listen to anybody. And don't for a moment think that, as one of the US Congress people said, oh, I think this really, really stupid woman from Texas, I can't remember her name now, but she's a representative from Texas. She went on The View and she said, "Ah, we can't just go in and seize Maduro, the head of state of a sovereign country."
Self-declared head of state.
You know, how could we do that? It's so mean and rude and wrong. And other countries wouldn't do that because now we're opening the door for them to do it, which is kind of your question about China. I'm like, of course, if they could, they would.
Yeah.
You think if if let's choose someone who nobody in the world likes besides Donald Trump. Let's take, I don't know, the Sultan of Borneo or Brunei or something. If that guy had the U.S. military at his beck and call, you're telling me he wouldn't take from somewhere else? Of course he would. What is keeping countries from being nice to other countries is just some imagined politeness.
Yeah, again, it goes back to the hypocrisy of all this kind of stuff. It's like if you had all those powers, people always go, oh, they're the worst. But if you were them, people, look, go back to colonial times, all the countries that did various things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, it's unfortunate how there's always winners and losers in life. But when you're in those positions, that's how people act. If you go back to Bible days onwards, it's all the same kind of thing. If you have power, you use it. But I just found it also funny that maybe 5-10 years ago, the word sovereign or sovereign nation was not in, like,
wasn't a thing.
It wasn't a conversation point. These people learnt it in like a minute. Oh, that sounds really official. And you find it in all these dumbass conversations now. But it's a sovereign nation. It's like, you didn't even know what the fuck that was 3 minutes ago.
Correct. Okay, so Ponster 8 or Pornstar 8, I'm not sure whether it's... Just to be sure, are we going to be talking about this shit for the whole 3 hours from today's show? No. I have excellent news for you. We're going to check in on some sport. There's plenty to talk about there with Ben in a moment. We're also excited to have Trevor Gumby coming in a little bit later on.
What is this golf thing that's popping up on my ads?
Live Golf.
Yeah.
Leanne, March, get your tickets. It's going to be amazing.
Leanne, don't you know anything?
I don't know about
Live Golf. It's just,
I'm just getting thrown ads, and I don't know.
Every day there's like the best golf, and then at night there's like a big festival concert thing. Black Coffee's going to be there. Calvin Harris.
Is it over a certain amount of time?
4 days, okay. Thursday to Sunday. It was three, and now it's been pushed to four.
Well, we'll get to all of that in
massively
a moment.
Massively,
Anne. To Pornstar or Ponster 8's comment, I have something very important. And I can't believe no one's said this before, but have you got the Stevie Wonder clip? So Stevie Wonder's still alive. He's terrific. He's written
still
some,
blind.
Yeah, still blind. He's written some amazing songs. But this guy makes such a good point. Take a look at this.
This is a message to Stevie Wonder's barber. Enough is enough. You don't know how to line up facial hair? Listen, you've been cutting this man's face like a pussy mouth for the last 25, 30 years. You know he can't see it, and if he could see it, you know he wouldn't like it. Stop cutting that man's face like a pussy.
I can't argue.
I saw it immediately.
I mean, he looked like a pussy mouth. Right? What the fuck's
100%.
Going on, man? Stevie Wonder's barber.
Get your shit together.
Yeah, I mean, really, this is embarrassing and unacceptable.
That's actually way worse than any American aggression.
It's so bad, right? Then I found
it's
this
much more
clip.
Offensive.
There's this woman, and she says, she admits she may not be the prettiest thing in the world, but she says, but I have a beautiful baby. And it actually happened over the holidays. I saw someone I hadn't seen for a long time, and they had a baby somewhere over the course of the last 3 or 4 months. And they were like, the baby was with them. And I said to her, oh, wow, nice to see a baby. Not a great looking baby. But it's very hard to say this to people. Take a look at this and tell me if you found yourself in a situation, especially around family, you know, Christmas time, you see them for the first time. You see how the kids are grown or they haven't, or there's something wrong with them. And you think, I'll see you next Christmas. I don't need to see you in between.
I might even be ugly, but at least I make beautiful children. And my son is beautiful, yes. Don't come here saying that he is not beautiful because he is beautiful, yes.
Whoever says my son is not beautiful, it's because they're jealous. Pure jealousy, see?
Do you see how whenever the camera comes near that child, if it is a child, it goes,
she looks like a supermodel.
What a little monster, right? That's very, very scary. If you had interactions with people that you don't normally see over the course of the holidays, there might have been some of those people that you're like, don't miss seeing you the rest of the year. We'll be okay.
I wouldn't sleep at night in my own house if this was my child.
Imagine you're lying in bed at night and you just hear.
No, thanks.
And it comes like grasping at the side of the bed.
No.
Okay, so what, like, what's the play this year with AI? Are we going to play a game saying, is it or isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm asking.
Is that something we should?
I'll be honest with you. I'm asking, is it AI with everything now?
Yeah.
Everything.
I still think it's so obvious.
Did you also get a lot of those shitty Christmas cards from people where they animated themselves into an AI thing?
Yes, into like glamour shoots and things like that.
Oh, stop it. You look like shit. I saw you myself with my own eyes last week. I'm not buying your Christmas card.
But it's happening, guys. It's getting to the point where people are going to put down their phones because everything's going to be false.
But that's good.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm watching it happen.
Listen. Not having to check in on all the things. Not feeling any pressure to have to know stuff.
You're only going to trust seeing a normal...
Having a normal conversation, yeah. Actually meeting the people is going to matter again. Parents are absolutely blind to ugly children, says Carl. I thought my daughter was so beautiful when she was born. And now I look back at pics of her and I'm genuinely frightened. She looked like a possessed potato.
It is a bit of a trend at the moment that parents whose kids have now grown up say that. Yeah. They show their baby's photos and they're like, I don't know how I thought that was beautiful.
You're caught up in the moment. I mean, you just created life.
But it's also a hormonal thing that you're attracted to.
Sure, but I imagine it's similar at a pottery class. First time you ever make a pot, you're like, damn, that's good.
Yeah, but it's shit. Like,
Jeepers,
yeah. Fuck. Barely Vocal Radio says, I see Garrett's in the news again. Maybe this is what Carl was talking about, why I'm in. I never know when I'm in the news. Other people have to tell me.
What did you do?
For telling people not to send their kids to Nelson Mandela University. Okay, so put up the picture because this is a story. Local news. We said that we've been talking too much about America. But here's a story from here in South Africa. This is breaking news on, I don't know, yesterday, the day before. Dr. Naledi Pandor. She of the shoes that look like a
I didn't need that visual. A Fiat multipla.
But she's also the one who Julius Malema said she must stop with her American accent. Yeah, yeah.
If we've got a minister who's spending too much time using fake American accent.
In the meantime, she was educated in the UK.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Naledi Pandor appointed Chancellor of Nelson Mandela University effective 1st of April 2026. Dr. Pandor's appointment for a period of 4 years is terms of the university statute, which gives effect to Higher Education Act, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so she was Minister of Education for a time, or Minister of Science and Technology for a time, but she was also Minister of Foreign Affairs for a time. She disgraced herself as Minister of Foreign Affairs, in my opinion anyway, by backing, and our government continues to do it, whether she's minister or not, all the worst countries in the world and all the worst ideas in the world. But this just proves, if nothing else, two things. The first of all, if you're a cadre, you will always get a job. Like, they'll just redeploy you somewhere, right? So if you're Naledi Pandor, you didn't do anything great as minister of whatever the three or four or five things that she did during her tenure as a minister. None of them was excellent. Nobody went, oh my God, she shut the lights out. Look at how much better.
Please never leave the job.
The Department of Higher Education is, or whatever, right? Nobody said that. So if you're an ANC cadre, you will always get a job. That's the one thing it proves. There'll be someone somewhere, university, NGO, something they'll give. She's been, I think, the chairperson of the Nelson Mandela Foundation too, because she needs money. So they found her jobs. This is just the greatest thing. If you have no talent, no brains, no ability, you never manage to execute on anything, that your CV is blank. It's full of titles and things, but you've done nothing.
Mm.
You've built nothing. You've invented nothing. You've made nothing better. You can still get a job if you're in the ANC. They will find you a job. And that's what they've done with her now. But the other thing that I think is so important, and the only reason I brought this up on the show this morning, or on Instagram, it must have been, is that universities are a big waste of money. All right, you should not be worried if your kid is not going to university anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In this country of all places, we need people who have skills, who have ideas, who are prepared to work hard, who are enthusiastic, who are hungry, they want to do something, they want to make an impact. We have so many problems that we need fixed in South Africa, and they are not problems that require university degrees. If your child is lining up, as many parents and children are now, trying to get places at university, because that's the next step for them in education. And we've been told that education is the key to your future, right?
Yep.
You're about to enter into a massive financial arrangement with a tertiary education institution that's going to be costly. It'll definitely be the most costly educational experience you'll have in your life. And I have to ask you to reevaluate if you're a parent or you're thinking of going to university this year or next year. Do you really need a degree in international relations or in public administration or in commerce? Or seriously think about that before you go and waste all that money and all that time, because sure, you might make a couple of contacts at university and you get a piece of paper at the end of it, but it is not a guarantee of a job. We know what the statistics are. This is last year's numbers that thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of South Africans who have degrees cannot get jobs. So why sink money into it? Why put your effort into something that is not going to give you a return? And the universities in this country are not doing amazing things. They really aren't. They're not at the front of the queue in innovation. They are not churning out the world's greatest scientists. They're not churning out the world's most amazing novel ideas, research. And I stand to be corrected if you know more than I do, but it seems to me that we are not doing our best stuff at universities in South Africa anymore. A lot of them have become daycare centers, because it's all about having a place to stay and eat things while you're busy studying. It's a place for parents to send their kids because they're trying to do the best for their kids, but I don't know that it is the best. I think, you know, that the economy of this country is, it's largely returning to skills. I was trying to find a guy to fix my garage door over the holidays. You can't find people. I mean, eventually I did, but I had to ask about five or six people. And then I found a guy called Freddie who's in his 30s. He lives in Zevenfontein and he knows how to use a pair of pliers. That's the guy I needed. Freddie is going to charge me, I think it's 2,000 Rand to fix the garage door. And he didn't install 2,000 rands worth of material. It was his labor and expertise I needed. So maybe you don't want to fix garage doors because you think it's not glamorous. But I'll tell you what, if Freddie does 10 of those a week, he's probably making more than your MBA graduate is sitting on their ass and can't get a job. Just saying.
Oh, incredibly so. But I think going back to your original point, what is it about Naledi Pandor and that university? That what is she going to bring to the university?
Cankles. Have you ever seen that woman's feet? No, really. I mean, you know, we don't like to get personal on this show. But I do think that she has serious health problems. I think she should be in retirement. She's done all these different jobs already. It's time for her to just quietly go and be a go-go. Like, just take your time, baby. You know, like, thank God we don't have to hear from Kosa Sana Dlamini Zuma anymore because she got the message. It's over now, Gogo. You screwed up badly during COVID. Go and take a break. Go and enjoy the ministerial benefits and the huge salary that we paid you and the things that you didn't have to pay for while you were a minister. Go and enjoy that. That's what you've deserved. Go and spend your time somewhere in, I don't know, some house in the suburbs. Live out your days. But we don't need you with your old cuck ideas from the 60s and 70s. Go and find something else to do. If you're not clever and you're not doing engineering, medicine, and science, possibly law, it's a waste of time. I would take law out of that. I know lots of dumb lawyers. In other news, my custom in-ear business is off to a good start, says Barely Vocal Radio. I sacrificed my pension fund in exchange for freedom. Well, I hope it turns out well for you, but that sounds good. And the chairperson of the comment section, Rebellious Ruth, is back.
Nice.
She's taking charge there, yeah. Go to university to care, let's be honest, says Zach. Yeah, I think a lot of people do, and that's okay. But why don't you rather start a job, and then you actually have money that isn't money that you're borrowing from an institution or from your parents or whatever, and then having to pay back. Rather, yeah, start a job and you can see your friends on weekends.
Things have obviously changed now, but for me, I would never have got my first job if I didn't have a degree, because you needed a degree with that speciality. So that started off my career. What did I use from my degree in my work? 7% of what I learned.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, there are things that you need a degree for. I don't want a doctor who hasn't studied.
Exactly.
And done a lot of practical stuff, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's who you want. You don't want
an ambulance driver without a license.
yesterday, for example, and I'm sure this is something all of us have encountered at some point. You meet the odd Uber delivery guy who's terrific, right? Knows exactly where to go, knows what to do, gets there on time, smiles, has some like idea of, and you get those ones who just, you say to them, I can see where you are on the map, turn left, and they fucking turn right. Mm. And you're like, you shouldn't be operating heavy machinery. And by heavy machinery, I mean a motorbike. Now that person doesn't need to go to university, but that person also shouldn't be doing Uber deliveries.
No.
There's something else. There's something much more menial that person should be doing. Yes. And I'm not going to prescribe jobs to people, but I'm not a nuclear physicist. Put me in charge of the nuclear reactor is a bad idea. Don't make me your surgeon. I'm not a surgeon. I'd fuck it up badly, right? I wouldn't build a bridge. I wouldn't know how to build a bridge. Don't trust me to build a bridge. If I'm humble enough to know that those are things that I can't do, then there are a lot of people who are in various jobs in this country in 2026 who are going to have to take a long, hard look in the mirror and go, I don't know if I can do this job, and get out. Because there probably is someone who can. There are very smart people, and you don't need a degree to prove that you're smart. Okay, can we close that topic? I do want to talk sport. And Ass, have an awesome first week back at work. We will catch up with you next week.
It started already this week, and I'm ready for the weekend.
Okay.
It's not easy getting back into it.
All right, very good.
So good luck.
You never left it, Leanne.
She's gonna do a normal walk of cheers.
Bye.
There we go. This is how we do this show. And now we welcome Mashiani, who's going to come and join us as well. But Benya, you slide over there. This is how we rearrange stuff. And by the way, we also decided at the end of last year we'd had enough of rearranging furniture. And we may do one or two changes this year, but we're certainly not new year, new me. Those people irritate me. And I think they irritate Mash and Ben as well. What we will talk about is some sport, because we've got a load of that to catch up on. I saw you were all over the cricket over the December break.
It's been a brilliant month, but we must start with something a little bit maybe left field, unexpected. It's the Winter Olympics happening next month.
And Ben,
exciting is that?
I said to Flex and James when I arrived this morning, I'm really excited. It's a World Cup this year. World Cup football, something I love.
World Cup football. Obviously, we're going to get to that at length. We spoke end of last year about all the different pools, and we told you who's playing who and all that kind of stuff. But Winter Olympics, I mean, it's just so great. So 6th to the 22nd of February, it's going to be happening in Italy, basically Milan into Cortina. That place is – the Winter Olympics are so great because it's going to be in our time zone as well.
Mm.
So we can watch all that weird shit like curling – when those two oaks lie on each other and they go very fast.
Bobsled, what do they call
skeleton
it?
Skeleton and whatever. There's so many weird sports that we can get.
Skiers who do those huge jumps. It's
and
terrific.
Ice skating. So much.
I love it.
So as we get closer to February, we are going to go very hard on all the different sports you can enjoy there.
Awesome.
And as I say, it's in our time zone. So the 6th of February to the 22nd. Because right now, Betway said 20 for me gives you something every single day. Every single day there's a game on. That's going to finish on the 25th of Jan. There's going to be this lull. And then just swooping in is going to be the Winter Olympics.
Excellent.
I'm bloody excited.
Count me in.
Look, there's also lots of rugby on the go right now. So the Stormers are absolutely killing it this season so far. They've won 10 out of 10. They are flying in the URC and in the Investec Champions Cup. The Champions Cup returns this weekend. So there's going to be a bit of a strange grudge match is happening. It's going to take the most attention on Saturday. So the Bulls are playing Bristol at 3 o'clock at Loftus. The Bulls have gone off the boil a little bit.
Yeah.
Johan Akerman's come in, obviously, to take over from Jake White, who was probably at the end of his tenure. Some people say he shouldn't have been pushed out, but anyway, he's probably past his prime in that respect. Johan Akerman's come in, it hasn't worked. Their squad's only got better, I would say. Andre Pollard's come back into the mix. And then so much so that there was a bit of an SOS called, and the Springbok assistant coaches and Russie's team actually went to the Bulls and said, like, let's sort this out a little bit.
Oh, really?
They went to Cape Town. They ran the Storm, was close, but ultimately lost. Anyway, the big game is happening tomorrow in the Investor Champions Cup is the Sale Sharks versus the Shark Sharks.
What?
So Sale, obviously a place in England.
Oh.
They call themselves the Sharks as well. Well, the British have been appropriating animals they have no idea.
Okay, so if this happens, does someone get exclusive rights to the Sharks now?
So the owner of the Sharks, as in the real Sharks, he's always called these oaks the tuners because he's like, guys, you're not the real Sharks. And he's one of those oaks that's like, he's clearly hugely rich. So everyone's been laughing at his jokes for a very long time. He hasn't got the best jokes, but I love the oaks like vibe.
I think, you know, we always talk about we need consequences. I reckon it would be a much more interesting game if there was the term shark.
Naming rights. I agree.
I mean, like, why do we have to have behind-the-scenes corporate shenanigans and lawyers in order for you to call yourself the Sharks? Put the oaks on the field. The ones who play the best, the ones who win, get to keep the name. The others have to call themselves the tuners.
I think that's awesome. But what I don't like, though, is that this game is going to be taking place at Sale, and the Sharks aren't exactly amazing as a team right now. So they've got a lot to lose away from home.
Okay.
But it's a massive grudge match in that, like, the oak who owns the team is putting this up now. Like, okay. He's just going wherever he can to tell these guys, enough now with the name. So it's got the big Sharks derby there, 7:30 tomorrow. And then Sunday, it's a really big game in the Vesey Champions Cup. We've got Harlequins versus the Stormers. Stormers are going to be away there at 3 o'clock. And then Bordeaux versus Northampton. These are two big teams. Defending champions versus, I would say, England's best team, definitely.
Okay.
That'll be at 5:15. And then Saracens versus Toulouse at 7:30. So cricket, obviously, is the major thing right now with the Betway SA20. Like I said, every single day, weather permitting, has been the huge thing. The Ashes was also taking place over the festive season.
Yes.
And England, limp-wristed, soggy biscuit, call it what you want.
Yeah, it's Keir Starmer's England. England are cuck at everything.
They're actually just cucks. Oh. They're cucks. They like to get fucked by all kinds of things, watch and then go, oh, that's uncomfortable. Basically, that's what they are. And it's such a shame because the Ashes is meant to be this really amazing thing, and it really is. We spoke about it at length end of last year about how great this thing is. And they lost 4-1. Five test matches, they lost 4-1. So we said they haven't won this since the 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, they won the Melbourne, the MCG test, but everyone was on the piss. Because it's like Boxing Day, everyone's festive seasoning, even the Aussie players, and the pitch was a bit dodgy. It doesn't matter. They lost 4-1. It's so embarrassing. All you need to do as a professional sports person is find out what you need to be good at and practice. It's not like, oh, sorry, coach, I've got the kids, or, you know, I've got this massive assignment on, or, you know, I'm running a pitch. No, you are a sports person. Did they prepare well for this? Clearly not. They didn't go there prior to the thing, play a couple of warm-up games. They just rocked up in white clothing and thought, yeah, this is good enough. It's not. You're bloody embarrassment. And it's shit. We get given the scraps of test match cricket, right? We're the world champions. Oh, here's two tests here against Achmenimastad. Or here's another two tests versus Bangladesh if you're keen. These guys get five test matches. Five test matches to be rubbish. That's insane. It's just nonsense. But getting back to SA20, which has been absolutely fantastic, we're at the stage now where we start to see, obviously, who the better teams are, and the teams aren't be so great. Every team that's been wearing blue so far has been a bit shite. So defending champions MI Cape Town has been the biggest disappointment. They've only got 6 log points, mostly because they burgled a win at home against JSK this week, which made me very sad. This is how much I know I love this tournament. JSK lost in a rain-shortened hack fest, and I was really upset. I've had a great time this last week, but I was upset about this. DSG, Durban's team, obviously, star-studded team, but they just seem to fall apart like British people when it comes to batting. And then the Capitals as well. They're coming back a little bit now, but haven't really gelled so well. Those are your bottom three teams. The top teams have been doing really well. Sunrisers, Eastern Cape, 17 points along with JSK.
That's nice. Top nice of the for log. The Eastern Cape to have something.
Great team, great balance. Just so damn exciting. I mean, like, there's been huge amounts of
people. Team should mash support. I mean, he's from Klerksdorp. So,
oh, he's a JSK guy. He's wearing yellow shoes.
Ah.
He should support the yellow team.
That was a good shoe.
He literally walked right into that.
Nice tattoo.
I literally walked into that, didn't I? I picked these shoes. I've never worn these shoes. They were given to me.
JSK top of the log. So you're feeling nice. You're feeling the vibe.
So what's JSK? What is that?
That's the Joburg Super Kings.
Oh, okay.
That's our team here at the Wanderers.
We're not all down on the lingo.
I went to the game on New Year's Day. Sold out at the Wanderers. The Wanderers is a phenomenal place.
Yeah.
Just to go have a beer. The whistling's a bit much for my ears, but what a place. When the weather's perfect like that, the game was great. It went to a super over. Just like, it's just theater. It's excitement. Everyone there is having a duel. Everyone there is happy. Everyone is just having the best day. It was so great. So if you haven't been to one of these games yet, you have to get to them. They really are great. This weekend, Durban Super Giants are taking on the Sunrisers today at 5:30. Saturday, we've got the Royals in Cape Town who are in pretty pink. They'll take on the Capitals at 1 o'clock. Turns out my mother's the biggest Paul Royals fan in the whole world.
Really?
Boxing Day, I took her to go watch MI Cape Town versus Durban Super Giants. And she's like, yeah, I don't like these teams.
Wow.
What are you talking about? You're from here. It's like, yeah, I'm a Paul fan. I guess they're not bother buying any merch or anything. So that's Saturday, okay? Royals versus Capitals at 1 o'clock, and then JSK versus MI Cape Town. I'm going to be there for that game. I'm damn excited about that. And then Sunday, the Sunrisers will take on the Super Giants again. That'll be at 3:30 in PE, Quebecha, the stadium, the stadium of dreams. Guys, this tournament's been so great. I mean, I know I'm doing work on it at the moment with the show, but it's so cool to know that we can actually do something that's so great. I mean, I know India rents the country for a month and they basically run the show, but it's something we all get to enjoy.
We don't mind that. We proved that in 2010. We don't mind.
Brilliance.
Let the sports people come in and run. They run things better than the government, so we're happy with it.
I'm all for it. It's just like FIFA 2010.
Sure.
It's great. And like, what an absolute amazing spectacle is at the stadium. There's so much happening. And it's not like monotonous noise or crap. Like, it's by curated entertainment. It's so good.
No, it is. And it's also a really good, healthy day out in the sun, which people need.
Totally. Totally.
I mean, we haven't had enough sun over the holidays because it's been raining so much. And I think it's always a good idea get out there and actually have a good South African summer experience.
Yeah. So onto the football. As you know, Bafana Bafana fucked it a bit to the AFCON.
Yeah.
It's a bit worrying, you know, like this team has so much promise. They did so well in the qualifiers for the World Cup. And then they kind of just went to AFCON and they just looked like they weren't into it.
Didn't Patrice offer money and...
Sure, massive incentives.
Yeah, I mean, they've really tried everything and these guys just, I don't know, there's no spark, right?
Look, every professional sports person essentially tries their hardest. We'll never know what journey that they walk.
None of them pitch up trying to fuck up.
But... it's like, it's such a big thing for us to go to this thing and say, Oaks, like a cock on shoulder kind of thing. Like, show you that you're there to win.
Right.
You're not there to fuck around, make up the numbers. You're there to take names. Mm. And whether it's Cameroon, Morocco, Egypt, whatever they are. Sure, there were some dodgy ref calls in the Egypt game, which wasn't great. But we got into that Cameroon game, didn't take our chances, and we ended up losing. So now it's quarterfinal stage this weekend. So Mali will take on Senegal tonight at 6:00. Cameroon take on Morocco. So Morocco, the host... best team in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we wouldn't have got past the quarters anyway. But just go deeper. Try harder. Be better. All these things that we know this team is. So that'll be the big game. Friday, Cameroon, Morocco today at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And then Algeria versus Nigeria. Hopefully there's no mosquitoes involved, but we never know. That'll be at 6:00. And Egypt versus Ivory Coast. That's the last game. The Premier League obviously is the big thing in football right now. Arsenal, best team in the Premier League. They hosted James's fucking knock-around team last night. And those Oaks rocked up, no intention to win. They were just trying to save face right now.
So all James's big talk before the holidays just amounted to nothing.
I mean, it was a rainy day, whatever, whatever. But James's team rocked up, and they literally took the team bus from the road, and they put it in front of the goal, and they just wanted to shut up shop. So 0-0 was the goal, was the result last night between Arsenal and Liverpool. But Arsenal is still 6 points ahead of everyone else. So they are very much the dominant team right now. They're still doing good. Man City are second along with Aston Villa with 43 points. Liverpool, James's team, so that's 14 points behind Arsenal, 35 and fourth. Brentford at fifth, Newcastle sixth, Man United somehow. And I think this is actually a horrible reflection of how uncompetitive this league is becoming. It started off, we're thinking all these teams are so damn good. James, I'm sure you can back me up here. But if Man United, without a coach, manager, or anything right now, are in seventh place, what does it say for your league? I think this English league has had enough smoke blown up its ass the last few years.
Clearly.
And if you, that's the benchmark. If Man United are your seventh best team, maybe not as strong as a league as everyone thought it was.
There we go.
I didn't mean to have another dive at Man United fans. They've had enough trauma, but there you go. So, fixtures this weekend. It's the big Manchester derby. So, Man United, without a coach, a manager, they've got some caretaker guy coming in. He's hosting Man City, who obviously...
Whenever I hear caretaker coach, I think of the kind of person who runs like a block of flats.
Yeah. Oldest guy with keys.
With a big bundle of keys and
walks slowly,
opens the sewerage hatches and checks that everything...
Bit of a hunchback. So there's a caretaker on the side for Man United this weekend. Man City, of course, they dropped points recently against Chelsea, who also been a bit dog shit. But they'll get 3 points there, so they'll be at 2:30. Chelsea versus Brentford after that at 5. Liverpool will be taking on Burnley. Wow, James, is that almost a derby at this stage?
Burnley.
Burnley are going to get relegated this season, unfortunately. Sorry, Burnley fans.
I do not know anyone who's a Burnley fan.
No one does. No one does. And then the weekend gets wrapped up on Saturday with probably the last big game to worry about there. Nottingham Forest hosting Arsenal, 7:30. Yeah, action-packed weekend. It just doesn't stop, really. And with the Winter Olympics coming through, damn, I'm so excited about that. You know how many hot, like probably some of the hottest... It's my inner 21-year-old talking here. Some of the hottest female sports stars in the universe are in the Winter Olympics.
Okay, I have a question here about this from Carl DeSantis. He says, with the Summer Olympics, we got the beach volleyball and pole vaulters in their lovely outfits. Ben, which events can the gents look forward to at the Winter Olympics? So which events especially?
Well, Carl, I mean, you big perv. It's obviously very cold, so you're not going to be seeing a lot of skin.
Well, I don't know, you get those sort of tight ski outfits.
No, of course you're going to be all kinds of sexy lycra in the mix here. But yeah, like the figure skaters, anything on that ice rink, it's the master of the human body, really. Mm. Speed, agility, poise, grace, finesse, wonderful things. The downhill skiing as well. Everyone here has got legs like you just cannot imagine. It's just, it's humans that are built in a special kind of way.
Mash is getting very excited.
I'll be tuning in.
There isn't.
suddenly Mash is like, whoa, okay, I didn't like all that soccer shit, but this has got my attention.
Like the Winter Olympics is about speed a lot of the time, right? Speed and agility. Like in the Summer Olympics, you need to throw things and lift things. Those are sturdy, frumpy people. Not that in the Winter Olympics. The Winter Olympics is like the sports car of humans. So you can pick any event, really. I mean, curling will get your working class kind of looking people.
Yeah.
But that in itself has got its own humor kind of value. So everything about the Winter Olympics is going to be exciting. There's shooting involved as well. It's basically like boot camp for a James Bond movie. You've got to ski. Huh. You've got to be rich. You've got to shoot. Yeah. You've got to be in good shape. You've got to be good looking.
Well, there are naysayers in the crowd because here, for example, is Metallic Power who says, honestly, not excited about anything sporting. The only thing I was excited about for a long time was the Turkish dude at the Olympic shooting team.
Well, wow, this is just, that comment is so shit. I can't even rip into it. It's just so shit.
All right.
What did you do today? I watched the Gareth Cliff Show and I produced a shit comment. Well done. You've nailed your Friday.
Ben styling for a change with genuine cotton, cheap polyester for Gareth today. Hey, it's a gag outfit. You know, I'll never wear it again.
Is that the same person?
With you people. This is the same person, I think. Yeah. No, it isn't. It's someone called Saint DC24.
Okay. I think as a host, it's a wonderful outfit that you've chosen.
Cool.
Signet says, as a United fan, Ben is spot on. At this point, United is scared to face Accrington Stanley.
Would be a decent game. It'd be like a Jake Paul boxing fight, really. Accrington Stanley should actually do that. Just mouth off and say, "Oi, you, exhibition game here," in front of Tuck Shop.
And they'd probably win.
Well, that's kind of what the FA Cup is, really. Yeah. I mean, the FA Cup in the early rounds is basically just like yobbos having a go at like the establishment.
Okay. All right. Very, very good. Ben, we'll see you next week.
And every week after that, I assume.
Absolutely.
I like it. A great year ahead.
You got a big year in on the bounce ahead of us?
It is, Gareth. We're actually going to go back to like a big weekly schedule. We're going to be coming at you thick and fast. We've got other things on the go. We'll be out of studio a lot more. We'll be at the final of the Betway SA 20. We'll have a live show in Cape Town. So, yeah, some exciting things. I think, and then with the Winter Olympics, all of February, we're going to have double sport.
I love it. Mr. Jazian, just before you go, says the bobsleigh teams have the tightest outfits. Also, the sheer balls you need to go down that on a rickety coffin on skates is quite something.
I think sheer balls is another thing. You're going to get minimal big frumpy bushes from people.
Oh, right. So a lot of
everything about
package
this,
action.
Everything about the Winter Olympics is aerodynamics and efficiency.
All right.
Sheared balls as well.
Oh, you got us all very, very interested in the Winter Olympics.
About
Who
this.
Knew? Yeah, and I, as I said, I'm also super excited about the fact that this is a World Cup year. We get to see some international football on the biggest stage of all.
And next year, guys, it's a World Cup year in rugby and cricket, and we host the Cricket World Cup.
Wow. Okay. Fuck, it's lining up.
This year, this is the biggest rugby year there is as well. New Zealand are here for 4 test matches.
Excellent.
Nations Cup.
Plenty to put in your agenda
so much
going forward. So, Mashiane, how are you?
I said go this way.
I am lovely.
No, go this way. It's fine.
Mash, watch out. This thing droops a bit.
Yeah. You should be careful of these mics.
Should I move up?
Yeah, move up.
Okay.
Yeah, make yourself comfortable. Someone said in the comments earlier, I thought you guys would have worked this shit out by now. But no, it's part of the reality of the show, you know?
The show,
this is very real.
Absolutely.
We do normal things like normal people. So did you have a holiday? Did you have time off?
I had some time off, Gareth.
Anything fun?
I did a lot of things fun. I was just spending time with my family. I was just shooting content with my little brother.
Yeah,
as you know, he's kind of fat.
Is
so
he all right, though?
He's good.
Because you were worried about him last year.
I always am worried about him. But you know what? I thought to myself, instead of worrying about him, let me include him. Let me include him in whatever I'm working on. And let me help him out, you know? And I think this December was such an awakening for me. The way I think has changed so drastically.
Tell me.
And I no longer have this victim mentality that I used to have, that many of us have.
I don't know that you ever had that, though.
Oh, I had one.
Did you?
It's so easy. Okay, in more of a generalized sense, what I mean is it's so easy for most of us to go like, if I could just win the lottery.
Yeah.
You know? If I could just, if some money would just come my way, if things would just happen the way I want things to turn out. And I've come to realize that we're in control of freaking all of it.
Yep.
Every single molecule, not just in our bodies, but in the world around us, we are in control of every single one of it. You are in control of how people perceive
you. Did you have a moment where it happened? Because that's quite a big realization. And I think there are millions of us who are...
Yeah.
Still stuck in that place where we think everything that happens to us isn't within our control. We have no say over it, and that it's all circumstantial. And we can always blame someone else when bad things happen to us.
Yeah.
And obviously, when you have the kind of change, and this is it's a very big deal what you're talking about. Mm. When you have that sort of change happen, for some people it happens very gradually, but
yes.
It sounds to me like something clicked into place. Was there a moment when you realized?
It was a bit of both. So it all started at the gym. I started gymming, cool, taking care of my physical and just my health.
Mm-hmm.
And cool, I didn't think much of it. But as time went, the way I think began to change. I became so much more receptive, so much more emotional. You know, like Gareth, I would cry almost every night. Almost every night I was crying, and I didn't know like why was I crying so much. But it actually came to me that no, it's because I'm finally I no longer have coping mechanisms. I stopped drinking, I stopped vaping. I no longer have nothing to cope with. So I'm finally just facing life raw. I'm finally just taking on life, raw dogging it. And all these emotions were emotions of past things and just.
Oh, so it was almost like a cathartic.
Yeah.
Breakdown. You had to. You had to say goodbye to that version
yes,
of you.
Certainly.
This is huge, Mash. I mean, I've always thought you were really confident, really smart, really articulate, really sensible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's always room for improvement with all of us. But
certainly.
This sounds like a major breakthrough.
It's such a massive one. It's just, I don't know, I was just breaking down, but not realizing that I was actually building myself up. I was finally dealing with all these things that were holding me back. And afterwards, I came to realize that, damn, I'm in control of everything. I no longer care what people think of me. That's one thing that's now happened. Like, yeah. I legitimately do not care. I no longer have friends. All of them
at
gone.
All?
At all.
Well, I'm sure the ones that matter will come back, or you'll find new ones.
No, there's some that still stuck around a bit. Yeah, but overall, like, I no longer have friends that I talk to on a regular basis, because I've come to realize that, we're just not aligned. You know, it's very difficult to feel like you're in control.
Yeah,
being around people who still want to be victims, people who still want to act like, oh no, things are happening to me. You know, it's very difficult to be around that. So
and. Do you think that the kind of people you want to attract to you now, whether it's as friends or anything else, are they going to be very different to the people that you used to have in your circle?
Oh, yes.
What are the qualities you're looking for now?
Accountability. Oh. Accountability is the most important quality, because it is so easy to be. And what I mean by this is that also, when I said so easy to be, I mean, we don't think about these things. We don't think about the fact that, like, nobody actually says, I'm not an accountable person.
No, nobody. Nobody ever admits it.
It's very difficult, but we see it. Your behavior shows it to us. You know, that, like, you keep talking all this big talk about your big business plans, your big whatever, your big this, your big that.
Yeah.
You're finally going to lose weight. You're finally going to do this, but you don't do anything.
Yeah.
And years pass by. And When I'm having these awakenings, you're still the same 3 years later. So I'm gonna obviously be like, okay, look, something has to give, and it's me just removing myself.
I think this is a very, very big deal. So a couple of comments for you here.
Yeah,
Sanele says, Mash has become a walking thirst trap, baddie Instagram celebrity. Love it for him. What a transformation. Slippery Pickle says, it sounds like Mash might have joined a cult. And Barely Vocal Radio says, I thought maybe Mash did some ayahuasca over the holidays.
No.
I think this is such a big deal. I didn't know we were going to talk about this. Obviously, I didn't come into this with an agenda.
Yeah.
But it starts with doing, right?
It does.
Because everybody's talking.
Yes.
I don't want to hear anyone's thoughts or opinions or ideas. I want to see action.
Absolutely.
I want to see people doing stuff. And I think we're entering a period in the world now, and maybe this is part of what's happening geopolitically. Maybe it's part of what's happening as we all start to turn away from mindless technological doom scrolling.
Yes.
But people want to see things happen.
In
the real world. And
yeah,
maybe it does start with just physical training, eating right. You know, I was so chuffed, and I don't like to boast about these things often, but I went to gym between Christmas and New Year.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I went the whole way through.
Well done.
But yeah. So the point is, I weighed myself after Christmas, which is usually, I mean, everybody hates that, right? But I thought, I'm going to get on this scale. Turned out I was probably the lightest I've been in, I don't know, 10 years or more.
What?
Because I've been putting some effort in there.
Yes.
So I'm not a fat slob. And also, I can't afford to get fat. All the things I've said about fat people, they'll kill me. but that was a small thing. What it's done is it's just given me a huge amount of motivation to do all kinds of other things that are not related to physical fitness. There are ideas that I've had for a long time that I'm now putting into action. There are things this year that are going to be new and exciting adventures I've never ever done before. And I think that what you're saying is also inspiring to me, because this idea of deciding not to blame others, to blame the police, your neighbors, the people on Instagram, your government, The mayor of Johannesburg, to blame all these people all the time is not going to get you anywhere, because they're not sitting waiting for you to blame them.
Oh, they're not.
And they don't care when you do.
Yeah.
So the only person you have that you can be accountable for and accountable to is yourself. Mm.
And what I've also come to realize is that we are South Africans, as you know, how much was spent on alcohol between in the December period?
I don't know, but I saw a lot of
drunk
people.
Billions. I think it was billions a day.
I saw people. I was driving somewhere on the morning of the 1st.
Yes.
Yeah, it was probably about, I don't know, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. So it wasn't early, but it wasn't late. There was a guy stumbling down the road.
Oh.
At that, he was about to fall into the road. And I thought, yo, part of me is like, good for you, man. You had a great New Year. He's still celebrating, even though he doesn't know where the hell he is. But I thought about how much South Africans spend on alcohol.
We and spend so much.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. And one thing I've
South Africans don't know how to have a good time without drinking.
We can't. Our people cannot have a good time without drinking. In fact, I think we are borderline alcoholics.
No, we
all come to realize.
Most of us are functional alcoholics. Yeah, we just don't admit it.
Most people are functional alcoholics. You look at social media, for example. I watch people's stories. I watch everyone's stories. And one thing I'm always seeing is people are watching Netflix with a glass of wine, doing something with a glass of, reading a book with a glass of wine. Everything includes wine. Everything includes beers, ciders, all day long. And what I've come to realize is since I've stopped drinking, just being alone in your thoughts will absolutely change your life. It'll make you finally realize that you don't need anything earthly to get to where you want to be. You just need yourself. We are so powerful.
You are talking like a guru. I'm starting to think there's some people in the comments who might have something going on.
I'm starting my own little cult here.
Clearly. No, but I'm happy to hear this, man. It's so great to be around people, and I've made an effort in the last few years also to do this. Don't hang around with people who pull you down,
Certainly.
Who make things worse.
Yeah,
you don't have to do that.
You can't.
You don't have to be friends with the same people forever either. You just said you have no friends.
Yeah.
You're going to make new ones.
I'll make new ones.
And they'll be the kind of people, hopefully, that will make you better and you can make them better.
100%. Right? Yeah. And you know, I lost most of my friends just a few weeks ago, hey?
One occasion where you said to them all, like, all of you can go and get fucked?
I was being cancelled a few weeks ago on Twitter.
What happened?
Oh, they were proper cancelling me, Gareth. I called fat people crabs.
Ooh.
I called them crabs.
See, you're turning into a worse version of me. You got to be careful, hey? Some of them will smother you to death. I did see a woman, this might be related to what you're talking about. There's a woman from the South African Medical Association who was interviewed on a TV show. Someone sent me the picture.
Okay.
But she was enormous.
Ooh.
I saw her. Morbidly.
She couldn't even breathe.
So she couldn't breathe. And I thought, how can the South African Medical Association have this person as a spokesperson? And she was talking about what you and I were just talking about now, is how we drink too much in this country.
Yes.
And there's an alcohol problem. And we know that I think thousands, if not tens of thousands of people were arrested for drunk driving over the holidays, which is a problem. It's a serious problem. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to defend those people. I don't want to be on the roads if there are people who are drunk driving on the roads.
Yeah.
It's very, very dangerous for me, even if I'm not drunk, right? But this idea that we use alcohol, and I'm going to use your words, as a coping mechanism, it's well established. No one's going to say to you, oh, well, that's bullshit.
Certainly.
The problem I had is that you've got this really, really, really obese woman who works for the Medical Association.
Mm-hmm.
Who's busy telling people what they should and shouldn't do with alcohol. And sure, she's making suggestions. It's her job. But I have to ask you if that's really the best person and job for each other.
No, it obviously
isn't. So what did you say? You called them crabs?
Yeah, I called them. Well, I basically said they're basically crabs in a bucket. Well, I didn't say all of them.
Pull each other down.
Yeah.
All the time.
So I said, if you're trying to lose weight and your friends who are fat and not trying to lose weight, they're basically going to be like crabs in a bucket trying to pull you down.
That's what they do.
Yeah. But then I generalized the message and said, so basically fat people are crabs. That's where I messed up. So now people
and what
came
they canceled
for me.
You.
Oh, they canceled me. They called me disgusting. They called me all kinds of things. People are just DMing me like, oh, they're coming for you. All the gays are coming for you.
Oh, the gays were coming.
I was like, these gays, they want to kill me.
You're just like that chick on, what was it, White Lotus?
Yeah, but I didn't care. For the first time ever, I just didn't care because I knew my truth. And I think all these Oprah, the things that people like Oprah always talking about, like knowing your truth, all these things are finally making sense to me now.
Oh, wow.
It's finally adding up.
It's a philosophical breakthrough
as
well.
It's so philosophical. And yeah, so I don't care what people think anymore. And it's just been amazing. It's been absolutely amazing.
Sanella says, it's bad, Gareth. People even borrow money to drink. Now the Mashonisas want their money and the people don't have it. They've been pissing it all away. Legs are going to break. Wow.
Oh, my word.
It's a bad situation if you have to borrow money from a mashonisa to,
yeah,
to puzza.
Gareth, people are using Buy Now Pay Later. What do you mean? People are using BNPLs to order alcohol online. You know, Buy Now Pay Later is now available almost everywhere. Almost everywhere you can pay online, you can use Buy Now Pay Later. People are paying for that six-pack of alcohol in 3 months' installments.
No.
Yeah. That's how bad things have gotten. And they just, they think it's normal. They've normalized this. There's nothing normal about this. Spending $1,000, Gareth, I can't even, now even the thought of spending R100 on alcohol disgusts me. I think to myself, damn it, my R100, what could I have done? What could I have done with that money?
Yo. Nkateko says, you find yourself practicing a profession which swallows your lifestyle principles.
Yes.
I don't know if that's related to what we're talking about, but it's certainly something, you know, at the beginning of the year, lots of people go, am I in the right job? Am I doing what I love?
Yes.
Am I learning? Am I improving?
Yeah.
Am I making everybody else around me better? And if you're not doing that, then, you know, yeah, what a colleague of mine once said, the law of 2 feet, walk out that door.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all, if you're hanging on to a job just because you're terrified that you won't have the money,
yeah,
and that's the only reason that you're still there, mm-hmm, you're scared that something else might not give you the money to do, yeah, the things that you need to pay your bills, then I'm sorry, it's like a prison of your own making, right?
It is, because we're in control. You can decide, I want to make more money, and you can start doing whatever to make more money. I'm making money from social media now.
Mm.
I'm making money from social media. I've even started doing YouTube now. So I'm not promoting it. I'm keeping it DL. I want the people who find my YouTube to be the people it's meant for first. Okay. And then I will start promoting it to the public.
Good. I like this. This is good. I mean, wouldn't you, you know, it's one of the decisions that led me to doing this show and to doing podcasting rather than broadcasting, is like you want to be able to have a really great audience.
Yes.
In terms of quality, not quantity.
Not quantity,
right.
Yes.
100%. And we definitely have that here. So here, a couple of comments. The obese woman reminds me of Belgian Health Minister Maggie de Blok. Yeah, she was also enormous.
Oh, yeah.
Gareth, you were in the news about your comments about the fat woman too, says Daniela. You're doing the most this Jan. I think it's just because people don't have anything to do in the first. Social media stories make a lot of noise in the beginning of the year because people are bored.
Certainly, they are.
I'm not a big resolution person either, but I've there are a couple of things that I need to get done this year, and I'm excited about it. Mm. Doesn't Oprah hand out with PDF files?
Oh, yeah.
I would take what she says with a pound of salt, says Slippery Pickle.
Someone's advice can still be valid advice despite some of their actions.
Yeah, I listened to some great stuff over the holidays as well. You know, really interesting podcasts, documentary stuff, stuff about human psychology, what motivates people, how much sleep you should be getting, what your morning routine should be, all that shit. Listen, I mean, a lot of it, there is this, I think it's dying out slightly, but there's this self-improvement to the point where it's obsessive. Mm. Cult. It's a cult.
It is.
You know, these people who you got to take these supplements, you got to wake up at that time. Oh, you should only have 0.02 grams of caffeine. You must drink 8 liters of water. I mean, some of this is just too much, right?
It's too much.
I wonder if, have you ever stopped yourself because you've gone too far?
I haven't gone too far at all. I eat whole foods.
You're still on the extreme stuff. You eat whole foods.
I eat whole foods.
Oh,
I don't
do you like
any...
what Bobby Kennedy just announced in America?
What did he announce?
So they've inverted the food pyramid.
Oh.
We were told that the most important thing is a breakfast of grains and cereals and stuff.
No, it's protein.
It's protein.
Yeah.
And it's fresh fruit and veg and all that stuff. So Bobby Kennedy, who's the Secretary of Health and Human Services or whatever it is in America, he had a press conference, I think it was just yesterday, where they announced that they're changing the food pyramid.
Oh, wow.
Because the food pyramid was wrong. And people have been saying for, I don't know, decades now. The food pyramid's wrong. So you'll be pleased with that.
I'm amazed by that. Gareth, you know, the more I learn about nutrition, the more I realize the average person knows fuck all about nutrition. The average person knows nothing. They'll come up to you and be like, no, as long as I have coffee before I go to bed, it'll speed up my metabolism. And you're just like, What? Where'd y'all get this garbage?
Now, as long as I have apple cider vinegar with cayenne pepper, my metabolism, I can eat whatever I want.
I know someone who's been doing the apple cider vinegar stuff. It's made no difference. None.
It will cancel the calories. That they say all this garbage. And Gareth, it's like people you know, hey? It's people you know. I'm sure even Abu James thinks some of this stuff is true. They're like, yo, I use apple cider vinegar and cayenne pepper.
James, do you do that shit? Oh, do you do any of that, Flex?
But the more you learn about nutrition and educate yourself, the more you realize the average person knows nothing. My dad drinks so much Coke. And I was like, and yeah, my mom too. So much Coke, so much orange juice. Yeah. And I yelled at my mom because she was drinking this Sir Fruit. And yeah. One glass, it says on the label that 250 milliliters of this juice has 25 grams of sugar. And I was like to my mom, I opened ChatGPT, I asked ChatGPT, how many grams of sugar should an adult female have per day? It said 24 grams added sugar per day. So I'm like, okay, so 250 mils of this juice has 25 grams. And you're drinking, that glass is clearly like 500 mils, mom. Do you see why Double. You're pre-diabetic? Do you see why you have the skin tags? Do you see why this and that and that? We don't understand what...
So your family were like... Oh, when you left, they were so relieved.
Oh, they're like, they fucking thought, hell.
This
huh?
guy, all oh this guy gosh. Does is lecture us. Or he told us we can't drink our Coke. We can't have this. We can't have that. He must have been, they were thrilled when you left.
They're like, oh, fucking God. Oh, it's about time he left. I'm sure. But it was for the better. I put them on zero sugar drinks and all that kind of stuff because I want my parents to live longer.
You want them to live.
I'm finally at a point where I want to just enjoy life with my family. That's all. I've realized that's what life is all about.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. And I need these people to live damn long.
Yeah, I so agree with you. I mean, I wasn't lecturing my family like you were, but I spent a lot of time with all of them, my brother, sister, my mom and dad. And I mean, first of all, how lucky are we that we do have them? There are so many people who don't have their parents around. There are many people who've lost someone, and it's especially hard to lose someone during the holidays. But while they're there, you want to maximize the amount of time with
100%.
Them, right? And I can't think, if you told me I only had 5 days left to live, I'd want to spend it with family.
Exactly.
I wouldn't want to see anyone else.
Nobody else.
The rest
else.
Of them, maybe if I had 10 days, I'd start thinking of other people. But it's the best thing you can do. And those are the people who you can always go to when it's good, when it's bad. They're the people you want to share your news with, whether it's good or bad.
They won't cancel you.
No. And, yeah. they're the people who you're most relaxed around. I mean, I know with my family, if I'm not interested in something, I'll say, oh, that's boring, and move on.
They don't
get upset. They'll say, well, fuck you or whatever, Certainly. But they'll move on.
Yeah, my family is so chill. My latest videos are me and my little brother. And as you know, he's fat. And people in the comments are like, how did you convince this guy? Because nobody knows he's my brother. They're like, how did you convince him to even take part in this video?
Are you using him as a... using him as an accessory to your social media fame? Is that what you're doing, Mash? He's basically being used for you to get clicks.
But he's benefiting as well.
Is he?
I am paying him. Yeah, when I get the checks from the social media platforms, I pay him as well.
All right.
So we're all benefiting.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but also one more thing, Gareth. You know, cutting alcohol as one thing, it's made me realize, Gareth, your sex drive.
Oh.
When you stop alcohol completely, yo, Gareth. Yo, it's crazy.
Oh, you've been thirsty, Mash.
Oh, I've been thirsty like crazy. So I was like, okay, I'm single, you know. Let me see the apps. I was like, let me see the apps.
What apps
let me see what's
on?
Popping on the apps. And I
and,
go on.
Were you getting a lot of action?
So before we get to any of that.
Oh, no. Well, you opened this can of worms. You're going to tell us.
I was like, okay, Grindr. Grindr is where it's at. You know,
that's
I'm not
the gay
in the
Tinder.
Yes, that okay. Not even Tinder. It's a hookup app.
Okay,
straight right. up hookup app. Okay, right. So I'm like, okay, Grindr is where
it's like
at.
I'll meet you in the back toilets of the shop, and then
no, Grindr's more decent. Eh?
Oh, okay, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you I've said hookup. Some... I don't know. There are levels. There are levels to this. I don't know
People's
what you're doing in Clarksdorp over a weekend.
people's profile pictures on Grindr are like maybe they're selfies or like a neck down picture. You know, their torso and so forth. And
but
yeah,
not the dick.
No, it's not genitalia. Oh, okay. It doesn't allow that. So I was like, oh yeah, maybe I should go back to Grindr and like explore Grindr again, because it's been a while and it'll be nice to meet, you know, singles in my area, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Cool. And then I go on Twitter. Oh, the girlies were like, oh honey, we ain't on Grindr, honey. We ain't on Grindr. There's a new app.
Are they on Twitter?
Nope, there's a new app.
Oh, a new one.
Yep, it's called TB.
As in tuberculosis?
No.
That's for sick people, Mash.
No, as in...
It's a well-established acronym for sick people. People, it's usually a lung condition, tuberculosis.
No, as in the blowers.
The blowers. Gumby is just like...
Trevor Gumby. You know exactly. Hey, not Trevor Gumby. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Don't cast aspersions that he's on the blower. Okay?
Anyone reacts
so
like that?
No. This is very big news. Not just for the gay community, but for everyone who wants to pretend they know what's going on. Grindr's no more. It's not a thing.
Well, the girlies are done with Grindr, Gareth.
Okay.
So the blowers is basically, it's like Grindr, but like on level... Maybe 110%.
And what's the quality? Because all my friends who are on these various apps, they always tell me that the quality of people is very poor. Whether it's...
It's a mixed bag.
What's the one that Ben spoke about last time? Something with an H?
Hinge.
There's Hinge. There's Tinder. There's...
Those are dating platforms.
Yeah. But I mean, it's all hookups. They're all hookups.
Yeah.
Nobody really is...
That's true.
You don't meet people who go, well, I met the love of my life on Hinge. And well, now certainly. We've been together for 8 years. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Right? They're mostly just, these are desperate and or horny people who are trying to find someone.
Straight up.
But you're saying there's now this new one, mm-hmm. and this is straight to the kill.
Straight to the jugular.
You're not going to have a relationship here.
Profile pictures, there are your genitalia. What do you mean?
Yes, sis.
What do you mean, Gareth?
It's a mazamban. And you found what you were looking for there, Mash. You got what you needed.
So I haven't met anyone on there.
Oh.
I haven't met anyone on there.
But you're trying it out.
I've tried it out. Yeah, I have a profile.
I mean, your new body and everything, you clean up.
Yeah. Right. So that's like, it's just people's junk. And that's the crazy part. I think that's the thrill of it. That's the thrill of it, is that nobody knows that this is my junk.
So I don't know how your sense of attraction works, but for me, the face is very important when I meet someone.
Face is more important.
Well, it's very important. You're going to look at the face a lot more than you're going to look at anything else. So if you're on one of these apps and they just give you the cock mm-hmm. and balls.
Like, yeah. They just say, here's my balls, here's my junk.
That's not what you're after.
And then while you're talking, you're like, okay, can I see your face? Yeah. So you see the face after.
Oh.
So it's like,
it's like dating the wrong way around.
And I'm not going to lie, most of the time the faces are like, oh God, never mind. That's why I've never met anyone there. Because they send the face and I'm like, ugh, no.
But you set it up, sounded like the solution to all your problems.
So it's just...
Because like you've got the testosterone like
it's just been
pumping,
a great
you're feeling
pastime.
Healthy, you don't do drinking anymore, you don't vape. So you should be cleaning up, and then you tell me about this and it sounds disappointing. Have you had no action?
So I can't disclose.
Please tell me you haven't gone back to old territory with people you've been with before.
No. Okay. We don't do that here. Yeah. No. Not nobody from the past.
Because that would be you going backwards.
It's only new characters.
You
now.
You don't undervalue yourself.
No. Right. It's only new characters in the storyline. And yeah, this platform I'm just exploring at the moment on this platform. As I said, people's profile pictures are their genitalia, and then the app just says your location. And you can even put videos. So some people actually put like S tapes.
Bring Gumby in here. I want to hear what he thinks of this.
On their profile.
Yeah, but listen, you know, as long as you're getting what you want, Mash.
Yeah.
And I don't care whether it's relationships or hookups, if people are mm-hmm. happy, and some people want to have someone to share their life with, whether
certainly.
It's for a night or for the rest of their life.
And maybe nowadays, because things are, the world is upside down, Gareth.
Sure.
The world is completely upside down. So longer the world from 30 years ago. So I think maybe you might even, this might be the way to find love now. You know, and then get to know each other.
You smash and then you realize like a couple of days later, you know, they were
I kind of like that person.
Good company.
Yeah, that person from 3 days ago. What was their name? I forgot. But I kind of like them.
They were quite nice.
Yeah.
They were very polite. They didn't swear at me. Hey, Gumby. How Hello. The hell are you, brother?
Oh, hey, I'm good. I'm good.
You are. What's going so on? Nice to see you, bro.
Yeah, very nice to see you, bro.
I know you were also close to Warris. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you knew that motherfucker as well as Marv, and you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That was horrible. But I didn't want to start on that note. I just needed
it. But you did.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I need to acknowledge him. Yeah, He's a big part of our lives here as well.
Yeah.
Are you good? How was your holiday?
What holiday, bro?
Were you working the whole way through?
I was trying to work,
I see you putting on some new show. That's what got me thinking we must talk to you again.
What show?
There's some show you're doing with two other people. It was all over my social media.
Oh, no, bro. That's a club gig. It's like every week and stuff,
You're doing an every week club?
Yeah. That's
That's a comedian's dream, man.
I know, right?
That's what you wanted.
It's wonderful.
Right.
It is wonderful. And you, how are you doing?
I'm lovely,
Trevor.
Nice to see his face for once.
Yeah.
He's
open
my phone and it's just his meat and two veg. Fucking hell. Nice to see you from the waist up. Sober.
It's lovely to see you too.
What do you moisturize that belly end of yours with? It's honestly like a throbbing purple member. It's like, it's shiny too.
Coconut oil.
Coconut oil.
Works wonders.
Does it get rid of the cock cheese? Like, will you never get cock cheese again?
You'll never get it.
All right. You said cocoa butter.
Yeah.
Cock cheese.
Cocoa.
Yes,
would you like some cheese with your wine?
Oh, fuck. What a way to start. I knew this would happen when I brought you on.
Oh, I love it here, bro. Except for that. What is that? What
I've
are you wearing?
You know, I've really missed you.
I've really missed you too, bro.
I was so fucking happy when I saw your face just now.
Really?
And I won't. I mean, like, in an hour, I'll be sorry I saw you, but.
I know. It just takes 15 minutes and then
bro,
we're done.
What's been happening?
Oh, a lot, bro.
Okay, give us a couple updates here.
So I went blind for 3 months.
Jesus.
Oh, my word.
You are kidding me. But like blind.
Yeah, well, blind.
Couldn't see a fucking thing.
Nah.
My eyes. From what?
My diabetes went unchecked and then my, my retina fell off and
This is the type 2 that they warn you about.
Yeah.
That it can make you I've heard of this, but I've never met anyone who had this happen.
Yeah.
You go blind.
Yeah. You go blind, and you can also, like, maybe lose a leg.
Jesus.
Or two.
And you can see now?
Yeah, I can see now.
Shit,
did you go
Trevor?
Fully blind you or, like, partially?
Fully.
You must
I'm
have
like,
had the biggest fright of your life.
I did.
Oh, my word.
And a lot has happened in my life, but that is for a different time, because you know how I am. I'm like... time plus pain equals a comedy.
Yeah. We're going to have the best show ever from you in about a month or two from now.
Give me four months. Yeah.
Dude.
Here's the thing, bro. Through that, I've been remembering conversations that I had with you when you gave me a book. And you were like to me at the different studio, and you were like to me, Trevor, you are way too hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You said that off air.
Yeah.
So I'm remembering things like that, you know? Because I think we neglect our mental health
big time
for far too long.
Absolutely.
Like November was men's mental health.
Mm.
Claire Mawisa got married and nobody said shit. We just suffered in collective silence. I mean, Claire Mawisa formed our formative years.
Yeah, exactly.
This is from Claire Mawisa. That tight grip. I promise you.
And let me tell you,
every magazine she's been in,
Claire Mawisa still looks amazing.
She is amazing,
right?
Girl.
So very, very, very
There's
good
a collective
woman.
Silence and collective sadness from men all over South Africa.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
That was bad for Men's Mental Health Month. You're right.
Bro, oh man, she raised me. Like, I learned.
Whether she liked it or not.
Whether she liked it or not. You know, I had to stop when Pamela Lee. Died because it's kind of like you're jerking off over somebody's dead.
No, she's not dead. She's just very old. Get Trevor a picture of Pamela Anderson. Pamela, she's not dead.
She's not dead?
No.
Pamela's still Anderson.
We have good news. Today is a good news day. She's not dead, but she doesn't look like she did on Baywatch.
Pamela Anderson, welcome back to my wank bank.
He's officially welcome
Man,
back
Man, cocoa
in.
Butter, Pamela Anderson, off the gym. Hey, We're going to leave here, not drink, go to the gym, and then check each other off over just Pamela before you get,
okay, yeah, I don't want to ruin this for you, but before you get too excited, she doesn't look like she did on Baywatch anymore.
Yeah.
Clem Owiso hasn't changed in like 15
she
years.
Hasn't.
Yeah? There's some what people, a beauty. Some people who look the same for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and then they're people who you see them and you go, whew.
Yes.
I
yeah, well, black don't crack.
Eh?
I mean, look, we've made the made the example between Pamela Anderson and Clem Owiso. Clem Owiso hasn't cracked. You telling me that she's cracked?
Halle Berry's not what she used to be.
I haven't seen her
Halle Berry?
I was listening to Toni Braxton yesterday from the 90s.
Yeah.
Remember what she used to look like?
Oh, yeah.
She didn't look like that.
No.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't she?
Listen, we're all going to get old. Probably there are people who are seeing you and me and Mash who saw us 5 years ago and go, they really let themselves go. Not in your case, Mash. You haven't let yourself go.
I was fat and ugly.
We're getting old, though, dude. It's happening, whether we like it or not.
And
I don't mind it. Someone, a friend of mine turned 50 yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And a friend?
Yeah, so we're all in this group together. It's like people who are, some of them are friends from varsity days. And she was saying, I love my age. I'm not embarrassed about my age. I'm not trying to be younger. I'm not trying to be older.
Mm.
It's exciting. You have life experience.
Certainly.
I think it gets better and better as you get older until you start to get demented at whatever point. But
that's the best part. Dude, when you can say and do anything.
But when things happen to you like you're blind, did you shit yourself and think, oh my God, this is my reality for now, forever?
Like shit myself physically?
No, but did you think this is the end of my life? I can't see things anymore.
I did, dog. I went through like a major episode where...
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's a huge thing, you know?
Mm.
And
fucking hell.
I'm back on my
own. How did you fix it? How did it come right?
Oh, my surgeon, Dr. Maleka, he hooked me up with two operations.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're good. This eye should be 100% in February.
So it's not now?
No, it's not.
So he's seeing three of you right now out of that eye.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, he likes seeing three of me.
But you know, this is, I mean, Trevor, I hate that this happened to you. And
it happened, but it's gone.
I know. Yeah. It's the first I've heard of it. But what I think about often is how we all get wrapped up in money, social media, the news, having an opinion, your career, dumb shit. Something like this happens to you. Suddenly you're like, I don't care about any of that
exactly.
shit.
Exactly.
You don't care about that shit at all now, right?
No. I like social media, I don't even check it anymore. I do my job on social media. I do it and then I put that thing down.
Yeah.
Because there's more important things, you know? Yeah, and you learn to like, this is what I like, so I'm going to go with that. And it's not something about, I'll do what I like, despite, no matter what it does to other people. Mm. It's like, just, I'm going to stay in my lane and I'm going to do what I want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, when somebody barges in and you're jerking off over Clem Owiso, you got to make the decision right then and there. No, you got to make the decision right then and there. They've already burst in.
What's the decision? Am I to carry on or must I stop?
Finish. Now I will finish. I will look my maid dead in the eye. She bursts in with a load of iron laundry. I'm like, I'm going with that Stay Soft smell. Fucking lavender. Let's go. And if you in my strike zone, that's your fault. You should have knocked. You should have knocked.
Oh, but I got a bounce.
Okay, all right. No, Mash, that's cool. Listen, I want to show you
semen?
Before you go. I want you to see this.
Was it the flying semen that made you want to leave?
Yeah, that made him so uncomfortable. Look, he's crawled into the corner of this thing. Look at him. He's actually moved away from me. He's terrified. He's shitting himself for you. He's traumatized. Look. Will you play them that clip of that guy in with the he walks up to these strangers, right? And he's obviously got some kind of a Coke bottle or something in his pants, and he's got like yellow paint in it. And then he He like shits himself in front of them. These people freak out. I went on the other day. Now it comes up on my feed all the time. Oh. The same guy. I don't know what it's called. Have you got that clip? Just show Trevor and Mash what I mean. This is hilarious.
Mombari nanga. Kasongo mbona we mu. Songa liba. Okay, yeah, we need to
It's so good. So yeah, you saw his name is Shit Boy or something.
I want to follow him.
And this guy, he
oh, you like that kind of thing?
But imagine
jaundice ass.
Yeah, but imagine you're sitting there, you're talking to your friends. This guy walks up, he starts talking to you, and suddenly all this yellow shit comes out.
Oh my word, I'd run.
Man, that must be horrible. It must be absolutely.
It's like a Friday night outside Tiger.
But you've got to be careful what you put into the algorithm, because now it's showing me all these people who have serious like digestive problems and I don't want to see that. I want to laugh, right?
Yeah.
There have been a few funny ones where people put like one of those speakers that you can connect with Bluetooth to, and then they play the fart noise, and these people think they've farted or someone around them have farted.
Yeah.
There were these four guys sitting in a meeting around, like, and they're standing around some skokoko, and they're talking, but it's like four of these like older gentlemen, right? And they're like, what are we going to do about the community center or whatever? Mm-hmm. And then these guys have put the speaker there, and there's this. And they all look at each other and they're like, "Aye, we don't do that. It's very, be polite, you know, kind of thing." And then the one guy gets chased away, and then they carry on making the fart noises. So the next guy gets chased away. And then eventually it's just the one guy. And, they go, and he's like, "Must be me." It's very, very cool.
That's hilarious.
So that's the kind of shit I'm looking at on social media. If I do go on, it's to watch that shit and to start laughing. Anyway, Mash, thank you. We'll catch up with you. I'm very, very happy. He had a breakthrough. He discovered everything is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's got fuck all to do with other
people.
And you can't blame other people for your shit. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Right? It's a big breakthrough.
Fist bump me properly.
Yes, fist me properly.
Yeah, man.
Jesus, you started. You started filthy this morning.
I
understand.
I can't wait to see Trevor as an old man. You're going to be the grumpiest old fucker.
I will.
Yes, it's going to be fucking hilarious. You're going to be chasing children around with a stick, try to beat them. You're going to be telling
maybe
other people.
Maybe my kids' kids, because you know my kids,
yeah,
Jamie
of course.
And John. They're huge.
Dude, how old are they now?
By
Mash. Yeah, come closer. Just that microphone gets a bit flaccid, so just pull it up.
Oh.
There we go. Oh, look, there's your Pamela Anderson. Have a look. Not the same, eh? That's not the same.
I'd still do it.
Would you?
Yes, like.
She looks like the chick from ABBA.
ABBA the band?
Yeah. She looks like the blonde girl, Agneta from ABBA, which is not a bad look. I'm not saying saying she looks terrible, but she's 60 years old? How old is. Yeah, she's 60. That's very good.
You know
60.
You know what it's like? It's like an old toasted cheese sandwich.
You'll
it's
still
have good,
it.
But yeah. You can't peel it open. It's like necrophilia.
That's the most terrible comparison. An old toasted cheese.
It's cold and you can't peel it open any longer. You just got to rewarm it. But like with steam.
So your kids, how old are they now?
Jamie's 20.
Jesus.
Yeah, he's in school in London, studying to be a lawyer.
My God, man.
Yeah. And Jody, he's just out of matric from Kids, and he's going to study a marketing weird thing also in London. And they're huger than me.
I hope that you're not paying for London. That's fucking expensive. This is.
Luckily, my ex-wife is doing quite well.
Okay, that's good.
Luckily.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
She can
but it is
it.
Expensive. But she's doing pretty well.
I mean, listen, well done. First of all. He's come
back to the country, Jamie. Sorry.
I say this with my tongue firmly lodged in my cheek because I know you're a great dad. We had that interview years ago, which was just mind-blowing to me because your kids love you and you seem to have done all the things that, well, most of the things that a father should do. It's a tough business in this country. We don't have a lot of them, right? Yeah. So that Likewise. Deserves congratulations. But I mean, you're an insane human being. And I often thought to myself, I wonder how their sense of humor maps up to yours. Because you're a twisted individual. I laugh. When I just think of you, I start laughing.
Nice. Thank you.
You're one of the most amusing people in the whole world. It's the shit that comes out of your brain, I wish I could bottle. But
that's the nicest thing.
No, it's true. I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. But I often wonder for your kids, do they find you funny? Or do they think, like most kids, dad, sure, he's a comedian. People like him. Hey, he's like a dad. He's kind of does dad jokes.
Yeah.
Do they think that about you?
Yeah. That's what they think. But I'm like the cool, kind of like cool, uncool dad. It's like, it's weird. Like, I know they like to be around me because.
I'm just trying to think, for any other kid, their dad is lame, right? And their dad doesn't tell funny jokes and they're not edgy at all. But you're like the edgiest person I know. I often think for them, their standard for that stuff must be so much higher.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
You know what I'm talking about.
Not much shocks them anymore.
Nothing shocks them.
Dude, if you grow up with an uncle called Gareth Cliff who's done what you've done and you've got a dad like me, nothing will shock you. And what they've been through in life. It's like, sure, they were raised Model C. They don't know the hood. But they've been through some turmoil as well. You know, it's not easy.
I was talking to Marv, obviously, with what happened to Warris and everything. He told me about a trip that you guys did to Durban once. We ended up sleeping on a beach. This was before you had the kids and everything.
Yeah.
But you had some wild adventures, man.
Oh, no, the kid was there already.
Was the kid there?
Yeah, so what happened? Marvin's an idiot, by the way.
Okay. No, tell the story. This is an amazing story.
Yeah, so we in Soweto, right? And we eating meat at a Shisanyam. Somebody chirps up, this is the best meat in the country. I'm from Durban. I'm like, bullshit. There's better meat in Umlazi, Durban.
Uh-huh.
Argument ensues. I say, all y'all are stupid. Let's get in my car. We'll go taste this meat.
Drive to Umlazi.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, back then I drove, such a fancy car. It was convertible. It was German.
Okay, so this is all on to prove that you know where the best meat is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we jumped in the car. I think I had a fist fight with Marvin and a Congolese friend of ours on the highway when my tire burst.
Uh-huh.
We had a fist fight and we rolled over into the thing.
You broke down and
yeah,
and then you needed to be rescued or whatever.
Yeah.
And then how did it end up that you were sleeping on the beach?
My Mklanga apartment was booked.
You had nowhere to stay?
No. It wasn't my apartment. It was my ex-father-in-law.
I mean, it's not Joseph and Mary and, you know, there's no room at the inn.
Yeah.
But Jesus. But it's a good story. So did you actually fall asleep on the beach or did you just lie there for a bit?
Yeah, we fell asleep. Oh, Mangoba Matunjo was there. He's the director now.
Oh, he just ruined his reputation. That's incredible. And I think about people who think they're quite rock star because, you know, I'm going to have one too many drinks this Friday. And I think about stories like that and the stuff that we used to do in the world before social media. You would party, you'd go and do crazy shit. There was no one around. Like, I just saw Trevor Gumby sleeping on the beach.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. Yeah. So you could actually live a life.
Yeah. Or and people lurking, trying to get things from you.
Yeah. That's also a big problem. But I often imagine what it must have been even before us, you know, like in the 60s or 70s, where people really, that was wild.
Yeah.
It was the Wild West. You could do anything, go anywhere, but you could pretend you were a whole different person.
Yeah.
And there was no way for people to figure it out. You could be like, yeah, I'm a movie star from Los Angeles, and people would go,
Wow, yeah.
You must be in like a little town, like fucking Krugersdorp. You could probably get free everything for a week if you were smart.
Why would you want to go to Krugersdorp?
No, who would want to go there?
Krugersdorp!
Dude.
So there was a story that it came out in the papers.
Now, recently?
No, it was like last year, October.
Yes, what's this?
And they were like, Trevor Gumby assaults a neighbor.
Did you?
Nope.
I don't know. I mean, tell us. I didn't see the story.
Kind of neighbors.
Okay, I don't know the story, so tell me.
So, it was the city press, and they were like, Trevor Gumbe arrested for assaulting female neighbor and daughter. And they say, in Krugersdorp, where I live in a flat.
you live in Krugersdorp?
In a
I mean, listen.
I mean,
I would rather be in the CBD.
That was the biggest insult. I was like, Kruger. Kruger.
So what did they say in this article? That you went in there and you hit these women?
Apparently this. So the daughter was smoking and the smoke was going into the bedroom window. So I came out and was shouting at the little girl smoking, and the mom came out, and I and my wife attacked them physically.
Jeez.
And I got arrested.
Krugersdorp's a rough place.
And I got arrested.
But this was not you at all.
It was a Trevor Gumbe.
But not you.
Not me. But they ran with the story saying.
So there's another Trevor Gumbe running around Joburg?
Yeah. But he's much older and more violent.
Did they have a picture of you there?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Right.
So did you take it up with them or did you just think,
I did. I did.
And did they apologize?
Yeah. NDA now. So.
You see, no, but I think that that's, they should have to have paid you money.
NDA.
Because, so you're in discussions. You've got the lawyers.
No, it's done.
Okay. Oh, all right. Good. Well, still, what a ridiculous.
Shoes.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, that's beautiful.
Thanks.
You got something out of there. Yeah, that's good. So as always, all the best. So this is the people who just love you. Trevor will do it for posterity. Toasted sandwich, love that. Had a detached, this is M1963 says, I had a detached retina 2 years ago and have only 10% vision left in my eye.
Yeah.
It's been rough, but agree, Trevor, we work with what we have. Good luck, dude. Woo. Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's what happened to me as well. They put it back. But you should really check out Dr. Maleka. He's amazing.
Okay, that was the surgeon.
Yeah, he's so good.
But how do you – if because many people are on that pre-diabetes, diabetes thing. I don't know a whole lot about it. It has to do with diet largely, but it also could be something you're predisposed to.
Yeah, it's genetic.
Right. So what can you do about it?
Well, there's like some people who reversed type 2 diabetes through like different things like diets and gym and stuff like that.
Because you weren't ever that fat.
Yeah.
I thought you'd had to get very fat to get that.
Not morbidly obese. I don't think it's that. I think it's lifestyle and the choices you make.
Mm.
Yeah. And I just made the wrong choices, you know. Yeah. But I'm back in there. I'm in the gym. I'm eating healthy.
Oh, you're looking good.
I know, right?
Yeah, you're looking decent.
Thanks, bro.
They no longer look the same, all these celebrities. We're talking now about Pamela. You called her Pamela Lee. I haven't heard anyone say that for ages.
Pamela Lee Anderson.
Yeah. I remember just Pamela Anderson, and then I forgot that she was married to Tommy Lee. And the famous sex tape, do you remember that?
How do you forget that? That all goes into the 2 minutes.
I know.
That's like because you start off, oh, she's so pretty. Oh, wait, what if Tommy Lee walks in while we're together? It all adds to the danger.
That makes it exciting.
Yeah.
Tracy says, Krugersdorp. That's the place that gave us Devilsdorp. Yeah. They've got Satanists. Yeah, it's a rough place. Yeah. It's a scary place. I often ask.
So only place that they still listen to Slipknot.
I ask people who come here and who've lived in Joburg for a long time or know it really well. What's the most dangerous? The east, the west, the north, or the south rand?
East.
East is the most dangerous.
Not like physically dangerous.
Gangster but dangerous.
No, not like gangster physically dangerous. Just to your mood and aura. That place is horrible.
Oh, it's just a terrible place.
Yeah.
See, I think the West Rand is quite rough, eh? You know, if you go up as far as Krugersdorp, is Krugersdorp still on the West Rand? Is that what people
say? Yeah, it is. It is on the West Rand, but Krugersdorp is at least closer to safety in Soweto.
Okay. So Soweto's safe.
Yeah.
Compared to Krugersdorp. That just tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. Because when you, like, from here, going to Soweto, my place of safety, I have to pass through Krugersdorp, the valley of the shadow of death.
Right.
Yeah.
What did you say, James?
If you go over the mountain in the West Rand, that's where it's not
Which mountain? There's no mountain on the West Rand.
There is a mountain.
There's small hills, man. Over the mountain.
Over the mountain into Mulder's Drift.
So he lives in the West Rand.
Oh, yeah? What street?
He knows.
What number?
You're thinking of, according to Two Mortal, you're probably thinking of Brigitte Bardot, who died. No.
Brigitte Bardot?
She's...
I'm sorry, I don't keep abreast of the porn stars around.
But it's funny that you used the word abreast. I want to know what you think of this. She came up in a conversation that we were having at somewhere between New Year and Christmas, in that week where you're not sure what's happening.
Yeah.
I saw some friends, and we were talking about that chick, Bunny Blue, who slept with she fucked 1,000 guys in 24 hours or whatever. Yeah. And then she was apparently arrested in Bali or something.
For
because
what?
Well, she was trying to make more porn. And they said, no, you're not allowed to make more porn here or something. But I was thinking about it, and I wondered what level you must have sunk to in your life to be guy number 999 or guy number 1,000. After all those other guys had to go and go, yeah, you know what? I'm here for it. I signed up. I don't mind. I've been put at the end of the queue.
But you're part of a world record.
Trevor,
yeah.
There are lots of world records you can get. That's the one you...
But that's the one they have.
You're not going to be named in it. It'll say Bunny Blue broke the Guinness World Record or whatever.
And
I'm going to say, and Trevor Gumby was number 1,000.
And you can tell your adopted kids, I was number 999.
Because the future is going to be such a horrible place that will be the only thing that gets your kids to respect you. Imagine that world.
Dog.
I had Nina Hasty in here last year.
Oh, love her.
Yeah, we were talking about your show that you guys did.
Yeah, man.
And
she's like family, dog.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She's doing so fucking well, too. That's she's nice. Got all kinds of shit going on. And she's apparently launching some new show. She was also advertising it. So we must get her in again. James, she'd be fun to talk to. But
we should get a show again here. Yeah.
But she was telling me she spent some time with her Serbian grandmother and was learning Serbian swear words because she can't pronounce – who can pronounce Serbian except them, right? It's all consonants, no vowels.
Oh, yeah?
So you have to – well, it's Zishin, whatever. And she's learned how to say, I hope your house burns down while you're taking a shit. Apparently, that's the best Serbian insult she could find.
That is nice.
That's a good one, right?
That is nice.
While you're taking a shit, your house burns down. That's
nice.
That's a pretty good insult as insults go.
I actually wish the house would burn down this last December. I was out like visiting people.
Yeah?
And then the toilet wouldn't flush.
Oh, man.
It did flush.
You've taken a shit in their toilet.
Yeah. A massive one. It did flush. It did.
But it's...
Like it kept... There was one drawl that just kept popping in. Fucking, it just kept coming up. And the toilet.
Did you have to push it down?
Dude, it's like I kept trying to flush, but the pressure wasn't enough. So I had to keep hitting it with the brush, like to try and break it apart. And it wouldn't break. So.
So what did you do with it?
I pulled it out through the window. fucking had to at this point.
Oh my God, that is disgusting.
They'll probably think it was their dog.
They probably will.
Yeah.
Have you seen those?
Babe,
we were talking
why
about.
Why was the dog eating corn?
those guys who were shitting the yellow earlier and the fart guy. There are people on Instagram who put up these pranks that they pull as well. Like they go into a bathroom at a McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah.
And they put a turd, but it's this long, right? And that thick. And they put like red paint for the blood because if you'd shat out a turd like that, you'd be bleeding.
Yeah.
And then like they smear it on the sides and then they spray fart spray in there. And then they go in and they call the staff and they're like, someone has made it terrible. And the staff go in and everyone's like going, the smell of the fart spray. I mean, it's quite a good – it's still – it's a good practical joke. I still think that's a good one.
No. You should get off that algorithm, bro. You really should.
Well, you did it for real over the holidays. You went and shat someone's – you made such a big turd it wouldn't go down the toilet.
No, the others went down. You don't get it, bro. It's like Like, seven went down perfectly.
Good Lord.
The eighth one just
this
like...
This is a very big... you must have been a kilogram or two lighter after that.
No, Gareth, it wasn't even big.
Oh.
There was like... They were normal size. The problem was the pressure in their fucking thing. Because it just wasn't enough. Like, it... you'd wait too long for it to fill up. There's a couple of times I thought, no, it's halfway by now. I'm sure this will be enough. But then it just like... It just swirls around and then just fucking...
Oh, so it was a weight thing rather. And then it was too light. It was too light.
It looked heavy.
We spent way too much time talking about your turd here.
You're the one who brought up the shit.
Okay. I want to know if you agree with this guy who's making such a good point. We got to bring the Stevie Wonder clip back because this is a dude who points out the obvious. And I feel sorry for Stevie because of what's happened here. Take a look and I'm sure you'll agree.
This is a message to Stevie Wonder's barber. Enough is enough. You don't know how to line up facial hair? Listen, you've been cutting this man's face like a pussy mouth for the last 25, 30 years. You know he can't see it, and if he could see it, you know he wouldn't like it. Stop cutting that man's face like a pussy.
Good point.
That is true, bro.
Yeah?
It does look like a vagina with teeth.
It's not a good look.
Nah.
And poor Stevie has no idea. He thinks that's how everybody's...
No, he's fine with it. You know, also the cornrows, you should get rid of those.
So you said you're not worried about things like social media anymore.
Not that I'm not worried.
I use it to market shows.
Yeah.
And when you're doing the club gigs and all the rest.
And I think we've ignored it for far too long, our generation, and we should get back on. You know, because remember, we were all big on Twitter and stuff. Yeah. But there's more things that people are doing and different ways of advertising and engaging. I don't think...
You think it's worth giving it a try? Because I actually decided last year I was going to... At the end of last year, I was going to get off Twitter completely. I almost deactivated the account, actually. And I'm going to let it go dormant, but it's still useful for finding out news and stuff. So I'll be like those lurkers, those people who are just the sticky beak, nosy, kind of try to find out what's going on, but they don't post anything.
Yeah. You know, those airtime advance just to comment. Oh, Gareth, your head looks stupid.
No, I don't even want to comment. I'm not going to, in other words, not participate. Just use it to gather information.
Yeah, true.
Because like, there's a lot of interesting shit that happens there that you won't find on the news.
Yeah. Basically, it's there right now, but I'm not going for the new stuff.
Mm.
I'm just going to stay on this until it dies, and then when it dies, I'm not going on, like, Threads and all these new stuff going on.
Yeah, no, I don't
need
that shit.
And,
no.
This TB.
But I'm a little bit upset.
You joining TB? Where is he? Mash!
Mash, no, he's busy on TB at the moment trying to find some dick. There is a little disappointment in
We should get a female one. Call it Axe Wound.
I don't. Is that really the marketing you want? Axe Wound. Yeah, see the chick. You know, I was an Axe Wound the other day and I found this really nice guy. Imagine. Oh, what happened to Clarice? Well, you know, Clarice, she met this guy in Axe Wound and her whole life has changed. No, I'm disappointed because remember there was that thing, that spaceship or comet or whatever that they said was heading right past Earth, and it was moving. Three-Eye Atlas. Did you hear about this whole thing? And I really thought, going into the holidays in December, I thought, okay, now it's going to happen. The aliens are going to come. It's going to be the biggest thing. People are going to stop being distracted by bullshit with Trump or China or the EU or Russia, Ukraine or Gaza or any of this shit. And they'll start paying attention to the really important stuff.
Yeah.
The aliens. And the aliens have come, and now we've got to stand together, like in that movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What was it called? What was the movie where the 4th of July or whatever it is? Independence Day.
Yeah.
See, I got the date, but not the name. I thought that the aliens would come. And I was very disappointed that they didn't land and that we didn't have a major moment there. I think we're ready for it now. I want the aliens to come.
Oh, no.
We were talking about turds 5 minutes ago. Yeah, it's time for them to come and take us.
It is. But you're wrong. They didn't miss. That comet didn't miss. It was delivering stuff for the aliens who came here ages ago and colonized Earth.
They've been here. The reptilian ones.
They've been here, the royal family.
Those ones.
Well, those are the obvious ones. Those are the low-level guys.
Who are the guys at the top?
You won't know because they live amongst us, but we can't see them because they're in a different dimension right here, right now.
They're in the studio with us?
They're in this room. They're everywhere, but in a different dimension.
Is this when you went blind? Did you start having...
Third eye blind.
You developed a sense of...
When I went blind, that's when my eyes were opened.
Jesus.
Yeah. So when we reach, when we finally reach.
Here we go. I knew this was going to happen. No, you almost had me going there.
No, I was joking, bro.
I was like, maybe there are extra, because they say when you lose one of your senses that the others become super acute. I mean, if you were blind for 3 months, as you said.
Mm.
The fuck did you do? Are you bumping into things the whole time? Did you stay in one place? Did you have someone to walk you around like an old man?
No, it's like, so here's the thing. I know my house well, so I don't need...
No, you didn't bump into stuff.
I know my house too well.
Okay.
Gareth, and that's the thing. I got depressed. That's a different thing, you know?
Well, yeah. You couldn't read, you couldn't watch TV. You couldn't use your phone.
Nah.
What were you doing? Of course you got depressed.
Yeah.
But was it suicidal levels of depression? Yeah, oh, really, yeah. Dude?
But it gave me a different perspective because my mom is blind and I've never really had conversations with her.
You used to take the piss out of her for being blind.
Yeah, I know.
You did. This was a bit of punishment from God.
No.
Yes.
God doesn't punish.
He punished you for all the mean things you said about blind people.
I didn't say mean things.
You know what this means for me? This means I'm going to get so fat. Yeah, all the things I've said about fat people.
You will.
Yes, I got to work.
Imagine you with a double chin, bro.
And eating
but,
ham.
But then this is the thing I didn't think about. There are no mirrors in my mom's house.
Yeah, well, because what would be the point, right?
No.
But how did you know while you were blind? Because I'm sure you saw people or you didn't see people, so but you must have been around people. And I know you were depressed, and I'm sorry you were feeling suicidal as well, but that almost is like par for the course if you're in that situation. But how did you get dressed and do normal shit? Because you couldn't fucking see.
Oh, very difficultly, man. Luckily, the helper at the house is quite cool.
This is the one who you're not scared to jerk off in front of.
Oh, no, I had to fire that one. She's just like... She couldn't look me in the eye after the thing. Like, can I have a toasted sandwich? Okay, sir.
No, I was just shocked to hear this morning. I didn't know. If I'd known, I would have come and visited you.
I know you would.
I would have brought you something and said it was something better than it was because I'd know you were blind.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it would be something terrible, like a plastic turd or whatever. But I'd say to you, oh, I brought you a cake and I brought you this
Krugerrand.
have a Krugerrand. Something I bought in Temu.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know the difference. And Trevor would be saying, you know that, Gareth, what a good guy. He brought me a Krugerrand. And then you try and hand it in.
And then it starts melting.
It's a chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This year, Gareth, we'll believe someone who says the world is ending. No, I just want – maybe it's because I think I'm a bit bored with news and the lies in the media and all that shit. So you want something big to happen that's indisputable, like the aliens. You no one's going to be able to say, it's bullshit, because you'll see them, right? And they'll be the big flying saucers all over or whatever. And I don't want the world to end, and I don't want bad things to happen. But I think humans need something to focus on because we're all over the place at the moment. You go on social media, and you just see how distracted everybody is all the time. Nobody's doing anything because they're constantly distracted.
And comparing.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
That is so bad. Comparing to each other. What you've got. What you don't have. That's why I was not at all affected by everybody's holiday stuff.
Oh, yeah.
For example, over the last, I couldn't give a damn. I feel JOMO, the joy of missing out. So when other people have FOMO, I have JOMO. So when I see
that,
so when I see people
JOMO
who are like they're lying on the beach or whatever, sure, I know it must be nice to be on the beach. I don't feel any jealousy at all because I know they had to schlep a whole lot of stuff, to carry all that shit down to the beach, they had to find a parking, they had to, then it's all hot, then the sand gets in your crack of your ass or wherever. Then you have, you think the water's nice, but it's Cape Town for a lot of these people, it's fucking cold.
Yeah.
Then someone steals your bag while you're in the water. You know how this shit happens. And I'm like, no, I'm at home, and you know what I can do? Whatever I want.
Exactly.
Much, much better. So exactly. I didn't feel any of that. But I think also a lot of people, their sense of meaning and value in the world is so tied to what's going on their social media. It's like, how much can I show other people that my life is great, even though it isn't? Because everyone...
It's so profound, bro.
Everyone thinks... No, but everyone thinks they are either the poorest or the richest. I know. I'm like happily somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
There are people who are dirt poor, who are living in absolute fucking misery. And then there are people who I will never know the kind of lives they have. Private jets and all that shit. I'm not jealous. Not jealous of the poor guy or the rich guy.
No.
I'm very happy with where I am.
Yeah. It's called gratitude.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and even, you know, with Christmas this year, I don't think anybody gave anybody expensive presents. It was all just like, here's something either funny or something cute or something nice.
Or from the heart.
But not expensive.
Yeah.
Because those days are over of having to buy expensive. Like, what do you buy me? If someone gave me a fancy, expensive piece of technology, I wouldn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, well, here's the president gave his nephew 2 Lamborghinis.
Yeah. How's that? And they went on, didn't Cyril go on holiday to Mauritius or
did
something?
He?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's not so lavish.
About that. No, it's not so bad.
That was just,
he's a billionaire. He can do whatever he wants, right? Yeah. With his own personal money.
That was just a tax thing. You do know Mauritius is a tax haven for South Africans.
Oh, yeah, that's where his accounts are, I'm sure. Yeah. He doesn't keep them here.
Wait, I don't want to be talking about this on another podcast on a real network.
Yeah.
Next thing, I'm with
trouble.
PH.
Right, exactly. That's not what happened. You son of a bitch. Yes, Cecilia. You are something else. This guy, says Marco. Yeah, exactly.
I might join PH on that show. He looks lonely.
Maybe you should, actually. Yeah. We've got to decide what to do with it. And
but
listen,
I don't want. It's like he's got Down syndrome. I don't want to be the normal one.
He's got Down syndrome.
A little bit.
I gotta
James says he's got distended forearms that are a clear sign.
James says James talks a lot of shit.
It's a clear sign of Down syndrome. Look at his forehead and his deep-set rectal eyes. It's
rectal.
Clear. It's clear.
Oh, fuck. Someone says here, JOMO is the cosmos. That's my joy of missing out. One thing I love about Australia, says Ricky, is that she lives in Australia. Ricky says, one thing I love about, I mean, that would be, you're in Krugersdorp, but one thing I love about Australia is that status means nothing here. Nobody cares what you do for a living. Yeah, because everybody's the same.
In Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone is put there as criminals.
Yeah, correct. You're all either criminals or prison warders. That's what they are. You don't want to be with PH Trevor, says Sanele. You know what happened to the last dude who was with him? Yeah, that's what he was saying, Sanele, but you just made it so obvious. Melissa says, I think that would be a good idea, Trevor. So, I mean, if Melissa says so,
Says so. Yeah.
It's like,
Melissa's a weird name. It's like got so many names in it. Mal, Lisa, Isa, Melissa.
Jesus, it's one of those. I never thought of it that way.
Oh, sorry.
It's like a compound name.
Yeah. Me, Mel, Melissa, Lisa.
Trevor, with those big eyes of yours, this is Yonder.
Oh,
what
Yonder.
A cheek. Now you remember Yonder. Trevor, with those big eyes of yours, you have 10% Down syndrome.
Yonder, you're a light-skinned asshole. No one likes you.
Yellow bone.
You might as well have red hair.
Ginger. Wow. There was some black and black violence, right?
I know, right? How?
You ain't black enough.
black people violence has gotten so Model C now.
About this. I found out from a dermatologist over the holidays. It's a friend of a friend. And this chick is a dermatologist.
Yeah.
And she showed me the chart. Have you seen the chart?
Of?
So it goes from, what's it called? It's called the, someone's going to message me with this. It's called the something spectrum or whatever. There are only 8 kinds of skin. Like, I'm blacker than Mariah Carey, right?
What?
Obviously, I'm blacker than Mariah Carey.
How do you mean?
I am. If you put Mariah Carey's arm here in mine, I'm probably darker than her. I'm telling you.
Yeah?
I'm telling you.
I don't know.
I'm definitely darker than James, but I'm not as dark as Flex.
Fucking James looks like one of those Durban geckos.
Yeah, no, like Scandinavian almost,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's translucent.
Yeah, it's very bad. So he's a one, and like the guy's from Senegal.
Yeah.
Black ones.
Yeah.
Those guys are an 8.
Oh.
It's got a name.
Only 8?
Yes, let me look this up. I'm going to find it for you because we've got this. All you got to do is walk around with this chart and go, oh, you're a 7. There's no racism then. We throw it all away. Humans have been looking for this.
To people
as
with
a
number.
6 or a 5.
Yeah.
And then there's no hatred.
Just like
prison. Because why would you hate a 1 or an 8? Because it's just the number. Right, so I'm going to find this. This chart, now it's obsessed me. So I'm like, they should put this thing all over the place. First of all, for the ones who want to be racist.
Yeah?
For them, it's going to be like, got to check the number. Because it's all melanin or melatonin or whatever,
Gareth,
right?
Gareth, there was a time melanin. In our country where you had to produce, your number. And that's the same thing you're saying we should do. Fucking hell.
No, dude, I think it would remove the problem. Because people are obsessed with this. And when you show them, it's just a number.
Oh, okay. Like, when you show them that.
Yeah. It doesn't mean you are better or worse or stronger or fitter or clever or richer or poorer. Yes, this is your number.
Aha.
When the doctor's looking for cancer, he's going to say, well, on a 7, I'm going to look for even darker ones. On the pasty fucking gecko at 1, I got to look these. They look different. They're red or whatever. This is what people should be doing.
True.
I'm telling you, I'm obsessed with this chart now.
I get you. You make sense when you get to the point.
It's just a number, and it's so unimportant.
Oh, my God. Your hood is like a Camelot. Oh, that is
That's
so
cute,
cool.
Huh?
No, I only see it now when I'm close to it.
All that people were doing this morning, well, of course, you went blind. You can't. Here,
it's amazing.
Let me move a bit closer for you, Trev.
It's amazing.
All they were saying all morning is how shit it is. So I don't
know. It's amazing. They don't know.
What do they know?
You look like a knight.
Vyasin says, I'm not darker than Mariah Carey. I'm more pink than Mariah Carey. Well, it depends. I think there are parts of Mariah Carey that are quite a lot pinker. Trevor makes Yonda sound like a product of Cousins and Brakpan.
Yes, he is. Yes.
Yo, I'll be in Joburg soon, Trevor, says Yonda. Say that to my face again.
Oh, threats.
Oh, he's getting aggressive. Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, this is, yeah. That's it, the Fitzpatrick scale. Yes, get us the picture. We can figure out which one Trevor is.
Oh, I'm like a 9.
No, dude, you're quite light.
No.
You're not as light as Yonder, but you... I'm telling you, I'm about a... I'd be very happy with a 3 or 4, but I think I'm probably going to be a 2 or 3. I'd like a 3 or 4.
I think I might be an 8. I think I might be a 6.
I think you're about a 6.
Yeah.
So
if Alec Weck is an 8.
Yes.
Do you remember Alec Weck?
Yes.
If she's an 8.
I mean, she's got to be an 8.
I got to be a 6 then.
She's the darkest.
Yeah. Oh, no. There's that beautiful guy who acts in Amistad. The tall black guy with a little goatee and it's gray.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck. He's got a French accent. That guy's quite dark. He's probably an 8.
I think that...
Blood Diamond dude.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Put up that scale. We want to see where we are. Hurry up, James. Jesus. You got us all excited.
He doesn't do a good job.
No, he doesn't do a good job.
Nah.
It's definitely time to change things around here. Interesting science results every day. Jomo studies, says Nkateko. Vyasin says, sorry, Bitcoin Boots says, if Trevor was a nine, he'd open up a learning center in Somalia. You know, the Somalians are not doing well in America at the moment. Lol, highball Gareth, how does that scale solve the issue of racism? Racism isn't an issue of labels. Well, it kind of is.
Yeah.
It's exactly it. So you see, but where's 7, 8? Is it stop at 6? Deeply pigmented, dark brown skin never burns, tans deeply.
Thank you.
Okay, but to me, 5 and 6 look almost the same color. They didn't make her much lighter, number 5. Huh? Am I right? And 1 and 2 are the same color as well.
We shouldn't really be checking
It's just
checking
the hair that's different.
Eyesight.
Look, James, flex. I'm right. The skin on 1 and 2 is the same. And the skin on 5 and 6 is the same. Ah, that's more like it.
Yeah, there All right. Go.
See, I'm a 2. I was hoping for a 3. I'm a 2. You're a 5. Maybe you're a 4, hey?
Yeah, I think 4 maybe.
You could be a 4. Doesn't really freckle. You don't have freckles.
Nah.
Rarely burns, often tans.
Yeah.
That's you?
Yeah.
Okay, dark brown, rarely freckles, almost never burns, always tans. Always tans. And never freckles, never burns, always tans. That's the deeply pigmented dark brown to darkest brown. I'm telling you, man, this is the, we should just all walk around with, you know, like they have at the paint shop.
The
like
number
these.
One.
Like a swatch. What do they call it? Swatch. Yeah. Switch. Well, I don't know what it is.
Sample.
And we should walk up to people and go, excuse me, ma'am. And just hold it up to her and go, yeah, man. I knew she was a 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can look at the 2s over there in the shade.
That group of 2s sitting over there scared of the sun. Look at that shit.
Hey,
I'm telling
all the
you,
ones in the corner with Salif Keita.
Jimon Hunsu. That's his name.
That's it.
Jimon Hunsu, that actor you were thinking about.
Mm.
Vyasin says he's a 7, but now we've just found out it only goes up to 6, so you can't be. You can vape here.
Who's vaping?
Oh, I thought you were. Sorry, I must have been seeing something. You can do whatever you want here. You're not drinking, though.
No.
Yeah, because you stopped that a long while ago.
Yeah.
I'm running
but
out
But I let my hair loose last December.
Did you anything for New Year?
Nah.
No, nobody did. Nobody I've spoken to did anything. Everybody was doing nothing. Either they're lying or they just didn't want to invite me.
Nah, they're lying.
Okay.
Nobody's really done anything. Like, everybody's had a tough time, and we are all trying our best.
Right, exactly.
We are all trying our best.
So what did – you said you let loose a little bit.
Yeah. Like for 2 weeks in December.
Fries, drinks.
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
Yeah.
Because I know you
just to keep saying.
You got a lot of crazy friends as well. Jesus.
Oh.
You got some bad influences, man. People I like. The guy Trevor is looking for is Jimon Hunsu. Yeah, we got that. Thank you very much. You wouldn't go away, Gareth, says Melissa Heartland. Okay, but what is this? Are we talking about the scale still? Bitcoin Boots says this way Americans wouldn't fuss about the word colored. They don't like the word colored in America. You know that.
I know that,
we
but
don't
I don't
mind
know
colored.
The history of it.
Well, I think they developed, it's more to do with political correctness than anything else. You could say people of color.
Yeah.
They like that.
Yeah.
But if you say colored people, they're like,
who
are you talking to like that, boy?
Ah.
I don't have to take no shit from you, honky.
True.
Calling me a colored? I'm a person of color. But
yeah.
Where's the difference?
There's
Meanwhile, coloreds in South Africa are like,
except Braino.
They like it. They don't mind that at all. Colorism is a thing still, says Daniela. Being a yellow bone is considered more beautiful. I think she's speaking for herself.
Mm.
I can't see her profile picture, but maybe she's talking about herself.
But she's right, though.
Is that still a thing, though?
Yeah, that is a thing.
Because even with Indians, I know that Sureshni once told me, Sureshni Ryder, now governor.
Oh, Sureshni Ryder.
She told me that before she was born, her parents were praying that she would be light-skinned.
Don't lie.
Yes. And they were kind of disappointed. She said they were a little disappointed when she was a bit darker.
Huh.
I don't know what that's like to grow up with. My parents are just glad I wasn't a retard.
Well.
Small, you know? You gotta adjust your scale.
I know.
They were quite pleased I wasn't, or cripple.
Yeah. But
it's a lot of work,
all
man.
All of these things are culture, though, yeah?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
I think in it's internally much worse than it is externally. I don't think that, for example, if you're an Eskimo and the first time you've ever seen a black person, I think you find them genuinely fascinating. You want to know more. You're curious about them. You want to ask them questions. You want to get to know them. You may find them very, very beautiful or at the same time terribly frightening for the first time, but you want to know more.
Yeah.
It's like when you've got a village of people and they're, let's say, 20 families, that gossip and the comparing with each other and all that shit. And now because of the social media that we were talking about earlier, everything's a big village.
Yeah.
Everybody's comparing with each other, gossiping. It's not news. It's like, oh, did you see what Trump did? Because we're all so connected now that that's what we do. We just sit and gossip with
each other. That's all we talk about.
It's right.
Like,
and it's fucking boring.
Yeah. Our friendship is not based on current affairs. We should have conversations that, you know, that we like.
I want to talk about, things like you going blind and the huge turd you left in your friend's house and the fact that you got very drunk over December. That's hilarious.
Very.
I'm just saying some. Don't get all sensitive. I know where you've been.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know what you've been through, right?
Yeah.
Yellowbone, is that a coconut thing, says Bitcoin Boy? No, it's a black thing. Yellowbone is a particularly light-skinned, usually women, when they're talking about a yellowbone. They talked about freckles just now. Do you remember who was it who had those beautiful freckles?
Noni Gasa.
Jesus, she was a beautiful woman. Still is, I'm sure. Yeah.
But those freckles.
Yo, bro.
Yeah, man.
I like that. Okay,
yeah, it looks like she got farted on in Dubai through a sieve.
Stop it. You're going to ruin something beautiful like that. Dubai.
Through a sieve. You know what they do to Africans in Dubai.
To everyone, apparently.
Really?
They love it. They want to make, it's humiliation. Why would you want to shit on someone?
Shit in someone's hands and say, applaud me.
Is that what they do?
Yeah.
They make you applaud?
Yeah, with their shit in your hand.
Now, let's move away from shit. I think we can do
you
better.
You love it.
No.
It's all in your algorithm.
No. I find the one funny thing and now they think that's all I'm interested in. Why did you not do your last show last year? What is this, is Lumero? Because Warris was – are you talking about our show, this show? Because it was Warris's memorial that we had to do, and it was the same morning. So we decided show, Warris's memorial, the one is way more important than the other. So it was an easy decision. Or are they talking about you not doing your last show? Did you not do a last show?
No.
No. So you, but you immediately started to take the blame for it. You were let me think of an excuse.
No. There was a show that we was meant to do at the Rand Club.
Oh.
And that's the only show that I've ever cancelled. Well,
how long ago was that?
No, it was last year.
Oh, okay. What happened? Why did you have to cancel?
The guys were booked. Celeste and Skumba. Had other bookings. Yeah.
I saw. So who are these two that you had on the last thing that I saw? Because they seemed like young comics that I hadn't
Mohani
heard of.
Dube and Mbali.
Are Mbali you mentoring any of these comics?
No. Oh, these guys are doing well on their own, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I could mentor people.
I don't know. It'd be terrifying to be
You. I'd manage you and take 20% of your stuff. But
sure.
Yeah.
No, that's good business, and you'd know what to do there as well.
I don't mentor people.
So here's Barely Vocal Radio agreeing, freckles of black women are beautiful. Well, some people like them, some don't. Cece from Yo TV also had freckles. She wasn't as beautiful as Noni Gasa. Well, there's no need for you to say comparing them, Sanele. But okay. It's all right.
Choice are sorted, Sanele.
Yeah, and any romance, any relationships, any love going on in the Trevor Gumbi life?
You stay out of my personal affairs, Gareth.
I'm just curious. I mean, I never know with you. You could be busy. You could be celibate.
Time plus pain.
Oh, okay.
You'll be the first to know.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right, dude. But you're happy.
I'm happy, bro.
Okay.
I'm happy. I got a new lease on life. I'm like,
good.
Focus,
I'm excited for you.
Thank you, brother.
I love you very much.
I love you too.
I'm sorry to hear about your eyes.
You're very genuine. You know that.
I mean it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Aww. All right, well, you disgusting motherfucker. You come here and ruined everything. We were having so much fun.
Can I keep this? This is.
You can keep that mug if you would like.
La Crusette.
Is that important?
It's like a do fancy like brand.
Oh, really?
This thing's like, I don't know.
See, I don't. What do I know? James, are these things valuable? Yes. Have people stolen them before? Okay, well, Trevor, you could be the first one to steal from us.
Thank you. Just say Kat was here.
All right, very good. Thank you very, very much. I love you to pieces. We must have you back here. It's delightful to see you. Please stay away from Krugersdorp. And do not beat women in Krugersdorp.
Fucking hell.
I mean, really. Whoever that other Trevor Gumby is, you should be ashamed
of yourself. He's turning 52 this year.
Imagine he's like, hey, it was me. He's telling all the people in Krugersdorp, you better watch out. Coming for you next.
He's much older than me and he's much taller.
You met him?
Yeah. Well, not met. I had to find him to tell the people.
You had to find him? Yeah. How did you find him?
Through a long process. It's like my lawyer and I, we drove around for a while, bro.
In Krugersdorp.
Yeah. Worst part, we drove around in my car and he still billed me for the hours.
Yeah, of course he's a lawyer. You gotta watch out for those people, man.
I see.
All right, Trev. Love you, dude.
All right. Thank you.
All right, everybody. First show of the year, and we will be back next Friday. I promise, all things being equal. You can never plan everything and anything.
Nah.
He's got the shades on now. Look at Trevor. Styling.
Where's my camera? God damn it.
Right there. There. Look at him. That's, That's good. Yeah, go out on that picture. Let people savor that for a moment. Very, very nice. And we'll see you on Friday next week. And don't forget, there's a new episode of Blind History coming out. Let me quickly tell you something about that so you know. It is our latest episode, which delves into the fascinating life of King Ferdinand of Spain. He was the most perverted ruler in history. Yeah, you're going to want to hear this. Story of one of the most absurd political betrayals, too. That's Blind History on the Real Network YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcast today, 12 o'clock.